Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. I got no money, a dress code problem, not to mention your biological clock. Is there any more shit we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
All right, knock it off. You know, you ragging on me is not going to give me any great spontaneous knowledge.
Paul Perillo.
You just keep on asking about Chinese food. Can't you tell they don't have Chinese restaurants around here? Gotta let everybody know you're a tourist.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything that guy just says, bullshit. Thank you.
Andy Hart.
Let me see. This is a tough decision you're giving me here. Get my ass kicked to collect $200. What do you think? I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
You stick out like a sore thumb around here.
Me? What about you?
I fit in better than you. At least I'm wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Imagine your idea. You're prancing along, you get thirsty, you spot a little brook, you put your little deer lips down to the cool, clear water.
Bam! A bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a f- what kind of pants the son of a f- who shot you was wearing?
Welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred, Paul, and Andy are here. And another 2 hours of Patriots talk is coming up. And we'll see where the listeners and the emailers take us.
I think it's all Jets today, Freddie.
All Jets?
All Jets.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Oh, I think so. I hope so.
Time to move on.
It is time to move on.
You know? It is our last show of the week.
Okay, our first email at 4th and 2. No, I'm only kidding. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
Freddie.
Yeah.
You know how you like to ask us? You were in the locker room. Who was talking?
Well, I was in the locker room.
I know, but you didn't talk to anybody.
No.
You ogled. Not the players like Eric does. It was something else. But Gerard Mayo spoke today.
Yeah.
And was asked about Teddy Bruschi's comments about blood boiling and all that. And I thought Mayo's response was very good and very interesting. He said, you know, I have all the respect for Teddy Bruschi and what he did for this organization, but he's not in this locker room anymore. And he just left it at that. And I thought that was as terse a response as you could expect. He also said, I didn't ask him specifically if he was going to do anything this week, but I asked him about his leadership style. And he said, I am a actions guy. I try to lead by example. But if I think something needs to be said, I'll say it, just like I did at Tennessee, just like I did in high school. So while that's not specific,
right,
I think he's willing to take that bull by the horns if he feels it's necessary. Now, he might not feel it's necessary, and maybe the team doesn't feel it's necessary, but we asked who the guy could possibly be,
right,
and I think I heard today that he's not a rah-rah guy. It's not what he's going to do all the time, but if this is the make-or-break point that he needs to do it, he's willing to step up and tell people where
to go. That is really interesting. I'm kind of glad he said what he said. And it's funny because I was driving home and I was thinking about the comments that Harrison had made and Bruschi had made. And my first thought was, boy, what frauds. You know, they couldn't, you know, they're barely, the pads are dried off from the sweat that they've taken off. And they're already, you know, criticizing this team. But then I thought, you know what, it's the opposite.
Right.
It just shows that while they were here, they might have disagreed a lot, but they held it in for the good of the team, and they really bought into that we're all one. And now you're in a new career, and you're getting paid to do something else, and you speak your mind. And I thought, okay, they're not, you know, this.
Right. They were being frauds when they were being players and kind of feeding what they were supposed to feed to the media.
Exactly. But they were doing what they were supposed to do when they were here. They were being, you know, loyal to what Belichick is asking them to do. And now when in the new employer, they're doing what they're supposed to do there. So they're not frauds.
And they said they were going to, I mean, if you remember the example Rodney gave was, if it's week, whatever, 8, and I think Tom Brady's knee is an issue and he's not playing well and I think it's because of the knee, I'm going to say that. Well, the example he picked was the opposite difficult example. It was the coach, because those are the two poster childs for this organization. And he did what he said he was going to do. He didn't agree with the situation,
right.
Thought it was a terrible decision, and he said it. He has
right.
to.
And at the same time, you know, I think Mayo's right to say what he says because, hey, they're not in the locker room. We don't care what Teddy Bruce. You keep telling us, oh, Teddy Bruschi said this, Rodney Harrison. Who cares?
Right.
Yeah, they're not on this team anymore.
They're no different than anyone
else. That's right.
Mayo's comment was perfect,
yeah.
I think. But the only thing I would say to that is Bruschi and Harrison didn't necessarily say what the guys in the locker room should be thinking.
Right.
They said
what I would
they
be
would be thinking.
Right. And they would be thinking that, but they wouldn't say it.
But
if
Mayo's response was dead solid, perfect. I think he very succinctly and respectfully, you know, it wasn't one of those off the cuff. Well, what do they know?
Oh,
what
no,
do these
no, no,
former
no.
players know? You know, that can be so disrespectful. It was just the opposite. It was, I respect Teddy Bruschi, but he's not in this locker room, you know, and I think that's the perfect way to handle it.
Yeah.
And I do think Bruschi, to some degree, was trying to say this is what they should be feeling.
Right.
You know, he was putting himself in that locker room. He was making himself one of those players.
And Mayo's not saying he wasn't thinking
right.
that. Right,
okay.
He could have been thinking that.
I mean, Bruschi was telling them what to do.
Right.
He was telling them what the right decision here is.
Right.
So let's not set him aside and say.
I didn't look at it that way. I looked at Bruschi saying what he would do.
Yeah.
If I was in that locker room,
I think
my
that's
blood
why
would
he
be
said,
boiling.
80 days ago, I was sharing this with those guys, and if I was in that locker room, he's telling them what they should do. That's
well,
what
well,
the impression
he said,
is.
As a championship caliber defensive player.
Exactly.
This is my blood would have been
so
boiling.
Gerard Mayo, are you a championship yeah. caliber defensive player?
Look, but I think that guys like Brandon Merriweather and Vince Wilfork and Gerard Mayo, I was about to say Rodney. I almost had it
now
reversed.
You stop when you get it right.
Right. Anyway, who's not to say that their blood wasn't boiling when they didn't get the chance to go back out there? But you're on a team. You're one. It doesn't help your team to come out and disagree with your coach after the fact, after a tough loss like that. And so you don't do it. And Bruschi, if he was in this position, his blood would have been boiling, but he would have done the same thing as Gerard Mayo. He wouldn't come out and second-guess his coach. You just don't do that on a team. I think that's the lesson, that they're in different situations now.
Right.
You know?
But your first point is the one that I find the most interesting and funny, and as a media member, it kind of reinforces what you do in your analysis.
Right.
They were frauds when they were players.
Right.
Now they're showing, we were right when we said X, Y, and Z, but you, as a team member and a great team member and a leader, did the right thing, but you were being a fraud. You were being a little disingenuous,
right.
And we all know it's coming.
Right. You were being genuine to
the situation.
The situation,
right.
But disingenuous as to your real feelings.
Right. Which
yeah.
sometimes it's good to be reinforced as, yeah. as a media member that you're not the idiot that they try to tell you are. They are for 5 years. That you really your observations aren't that bad.
Right. So. Paul was on the big show yesterday. I didn't get to listen to a lot of it, but what I did hear was very good. He and Tom Curran had some good chemistry, and Glenn Ordway. And it was more like our show. It was like three guys just kind of talking rather than Glenn.
It was more like this show
shooting the you know what.
More like this show than you think. I mean, people were talking and eating and
right.
just kind of milling around.
I guess they had another big spread because we had a big spread with Papa Gino's, and then you went and ate again.
I did only have two slices of pizza before I left. But no question, it was just an embarrassment of riches.
Wow.
Unbelievable spread.
I don't know. I was listening to Felger Maserati.
Yeah, well, you and about three others.
So one of your teammates, Cohen, co-workers is on the radio and you don't even listen to him.
Well, I agreed with Todd. I listened last week the previous time and Paul never spoke the whole show.
That is true.
That's why they call him Barillo.
That's not true.
Is that what he called him? Barillo?
Snorillo.
Fraudillo.
You're making my point.
You know, so. All right. A lot of 4-2 talk yesterday, Paul, still?
Not a tremendous amount.
No.
But there was more than we had hoped.
Yeah.
We started off the show trying to say, if you're going to talk about it, if you insist on it, can we leave out the whether or not they should have done it? You know, whether
right.
you thought they should have punted or gone for it? can you get something else about the fourth and two, you know, whatever that may be? And it started off, people started kind of looking at the Jets, and then it just deteriorated right back.
Yeah, it's hard not to talk about that. But there is some interesting stuff came out of yesterday's phone conferences with the Jets. Darrell Revis
is a douche.
You know, one of the reporters questioned him on the fact that he, you know, of course, said that he was playing man-on-man on Randy Moss in that game. And for the most part, he was. But Belichick, in his press conference, was it yesterday or Tuesday?
Yesterday.
Said that there was over-the-top help.
Same thing Randy Moss said post-game at the
right,
time.
Right, there was over-the-top help. And so one of the local writers tried to clarify that, which, you know, and Revis didn't take it well and questioned the football acumen of the writer. And the writer admitted, I don't know much about this. That's why I'm asking. I'm wondering if it's possible to play man-on-man and still have over-the-top help. And
kind of the point of those conference calls. We don't know as much about you, your team, and this game as you do. That's why we're asking questions.
Right. So Revis kind of came off kind of surly, kind of a jerk. But I think at first he answered it that, no, there wasn't over-the-top help, and then it was asked again. So, you know, you can say that, well, maybe he was just tired of the question line of questioning and, you know, got impatient. But I don't think the writer was trying to, be disrespectful or, you know.
No, if anybody was being disrespectful, it was Revis at the end. And I'm not going to kill him over it. I think he's probably a little frustrated because I think he feels like, listen, I played a good game. Moss is a great player, and I played a good game against him. Can't you just give me my due?
Right.
Like, and I think that's probably part of what – because this started – Andy's right. It started immediately post-game when Moss completely dismissed it.
Right.
And the New York media went back on the next day to Revis. Well, Moss – you said this. Moss said this, which is right. And then it became a little back and forth.
Bart Scott got involved.
You know, and it kind of had festered. I have a theory on it, Fred.
Okay.
And I think you're going to like the theory because I know that you often come up with these Bill Belichick hidden messages.
Yes.
Didn't you think it was odd that yesterday, 8 weeks after the fact, Bill, 9 weeks after the fact – Bill was interjecting on his own, completely unsolicited, like they did in the first game when they rolled the roads over to that side.
I actually said this to Fred yesterday. There's some angle here with Bill.
Well, it doesn't say
I don't know
that.
The exact
angle. You want to know my angle? You know what I'm thinking he's thinking? Maybe I'm way off, but I think he's trying to bait the Jets into saying, you don't think we gave safety help last time? We'll show you. We're not even going to put a safety anywhere near Moss.
Well, Paul,
you're going to leave it one-on-one all alone. Now, I personally think the Jets are going to counteract
that. I think you had a good point on the show yesterday where you said that, look, probably what they'll do is now that Welker's in, they'll put Revis on Welker and double-team Moss.
Because you don't need – I mean, no disrespect to Welker. One guy can cover Welker and not get beat for 200 yards like Moss did the other night. Now, Welker could burn that and catch 10 balls for 110
yards. But it's containable.
Right. If Welker wins that match, but Revis has played one-on-one against Welker before. Thursday night here last year, the NFL Network game, Revis took Welker one-on-one. Ty Law took Moss and got help over the top from Rhodes.
But I think you're right, Paul.
I think the Patriots are daring the Jets to do it again.
Yes.
Go ahead. You want to try to do it one-on-one again? Let's see what happens.
Right. I think Belichick probably agrees with you, Paul, that that's what they're probably going to do. They're going to double Moss, and because Welker's in, put Revis on Welker. I'd rather have it, you know, the other way around. So let's see if we can goad them into it.
I was thinking maybe he was just trying to go after a young player and get him to be overzealous.
Yeah, but now that this is out there, okay, so the game plan, the final game plan comes in, and Revis sees that his assignment really is to cover Welker, and he's like, well, wait a minute, people are going to think that I'm shying away from Moss.
Maybe he doesn't like it.
Yeah. See, I think that angle more, and even if he's with Moss, just get him overzealous, looking for picks, looking to make plays and prove himself to how big his stones are.
That gets in line with what I'm thinking. They're kind of daring him. Go ahead. You want to be the big playmaker? You want to be champion early, the shutdown corner?
Right.
Go ahead. Let's see how you
All of a sudden, Moss is running a little out and up, double move.
Bang.
And it's
Revis
out.
Bites on the first, and he's.
And it's out there that Moss wasn't 100% in that game. He was battling the back issue. So, you know, now, you know, if Moss does burn him, it'll come out, well, now he's healthy. You know,
I just think the whole game plan angle, I mean, Rex Ryan has to be the head coach. He can't be goaded into anything.
Yeah,
or
but he's emotional.
I know he's emotional, but he's also supposed to be a pretty good defensive mind. And he needs to start with his list of things and how best to decide to take away the opposition's strength.
It can't hurt to have your best corner upset at the game plan.
No, see, I'm not really even talking about game plan specifically. What I'm saying is more along the lines of if they choose to do it again, I think the Patriots are fairly confident that they're going to beat that. They're not going to allow one guy to take Randy Moss out of the game. What do you have, 4-for-24 or something like that in that game?
I believe so.
They're not going to allow that to happen again. I'm not saying that they're trying to get Ryan to change his game plan. Because Ryan should do whatever Ryan's planning on doing.
If he doesn't, then he needs to be fired.
I'd be very surprised if Ryan said, you know what, I was going to put Revis on
Welker.
Well,
he'll never say it.
No, but even if he thought it.
If he's influenced in any way, he's a clown.
We'd never know the answer to it, but I'd be very surprised if an NFL coach was, I was going to do it this way, but they're daring me to do it that way, so I'm going to do it that way. I don't see that happening.
But I can see Revis wanting it to be that way.
Yeah, but he's the player.
I can see that.
Yeah.
But
it's up to the coach.
I think
it's
more along the lines of how he plays. Does he jump routes? Is he more aggressive?
Yeah, that I think is the issue.
That's basically
now you're
what
in
I'm
his head,
about.
And I think that's
okay.
Natural.
Well, now let's get back to that because here is my fear. My fear is that they do have a pretty good secondary and they do have a pretty good defense, and they
that's
might
not
be
a fact. I mean, that's not a fear. That's a fact.
They might be successful, but I think like Paul said yesterday. There probably will be some defensive scores or at least some defensive plays that set up the offense, in scoring position. And that might be the difference in this game. But I do think that the Jets match up pretty well with our offense, especially now that we're only two receivers deep. You know, if we had a third receiver that was,
What about Isaiah Stanback?
Well, you know what I'm saying.
I'm writing a Pulse story.
unless they can work in Baker and Watson, effectively, I think that the Jets can give the Patriots trouble.
It all comes
Brady
to me
trouble.
With pass protection, I think, is the biggest key to this game for the Patriots offensively is pass protection. I think that chances to make plays in that Week 2 game came about, but you had to execute very quickly and very efficiently. And I know Welker being out was a big part of why they couldn't, but still, much like the third and fourth down plays last week, it's hard to do that.
Yeah.
When you're really under pressure, it's not easy to execute the way you normally would. And that's the Jets make you play faster than you want to play.
And here's what I'm thinking. Even if they put Revis on Welker, because with the quick play, Welker will be open, but only for a split second. If Brady's accurate, he'll complete it, but he won't have a lot of yards after catch.
Yeah, if the Jets play the way they played in Week 2, I agree with you. Because Edelman had a lot of catches in that game, but not a lot of yards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he had one 30-yard catch that he broke a tackle on. But other than that, remember we were talking about the differences we're not getting the Welker after the catch that we normally do. He was catching a lot of balls. He was that safety blanket. I think he had 8 catches in that game, if I'm not mistaken. 8 for 90-something.
But on, 15 targets.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was 8 for 16 or something like that.
But I think it was 8 catches for 90-something yards. But one of them, he broke a tackle at the line of scrimmage and got, 25 or 30 yards on. That was it. Yeah. Otherwise, the other 7 catches didn't look like Welker catches, where Welker makes a guy miss or he's cutting over the middle, coming free, cutting across the middle. There wasn't that yak that you used to see in West pickup.
Well, what I'm hoping for, the difference is, besides the Patriots really just shutting down Sanchez, is I think Maroney's going to have a big game. I really do. I think they're going to get him the ball early, and they're going to establish his confidence early, and he's going to have a big game.
Could be.
So.
Who?
Maroney. My guy, Elmo.
Okay. I don't even know why we would discuss him before.
Because Fred loves him. I mean, it's plausible. He's going to have a couple big games probably
at some point. There's 3 or 4 times a year he's going to have 120 yards and everybody's going to get all excited.
And Fred jumps. Well,
this might be the week. This could be the week. No Chris Jenkins in the middle of that defense anymore. This could be the week. Who knows?
What did Orlando say? Elmo, tickle him and watch him fumble or something.
Tickle me, Elmo. Watch me fumble.
Right.
Hey. So, all right. What else? What else we got? Who else was talking? Yeah, Gerard Mayo. Interesting quotes.
He was good.
I saw Edelman had a big, big gaggle of media around him.
Yeah, I wasn't involved in that.
No.
Darius Butler talked a little bit. He's a real quiet kid.
What time does practice start?
1.
So why doesn't Eric come until practice starts? I don't understand.
On the update or something.
Why do you want him on the radio more?
But I don't know what he's doing.
He usually does one to two.
He's productive. Leave him alone.
He usually does 1 to 2 and then stays from 2 to 3 with John.
He really does wear a sweater every freaking day.
I'm proud of you for changing it to freaking, not what you said the other day.
That was unbelievable. That was great. That was
I was kind of doing a mental rundown in the locker room today of other people that had sweaters on.
You know who he
on.
Is? He's our Matt Siegel.
Yeah.
Just these random kind of...
Philo's coming in.
Anytime he hears that there's a show...
I'm going to throw these away. Do you want some
fries? Philo just walks in on the show.
Just yet.
I just wanted to thank Paul for lunch.
Paul Darvill.
Not this Paul.
Yeah, we're gonna thank Paul soon. We have an email
from
Paul.
Oh, you haven't done that yet? You eat first and then later.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Or days
See,
like yesterday,
first.
We forgot to thank the guy.
It's
impolite to thank...
Oh, that's right. It's every day for you guys. I'm only included every now and then. So thank you, Paul.
Well, you only have a show once a week.
Okay. So I should get lunch once a week.
And let's call it the way it is. It's really not all that good of a show.
How would you know? You've listened? That impresses me that you listened at least once to know it's not that good of a show.
I'd be lying if I said that.
Okay, well,
I just heard you walk in on Shop Talk. We were hearing a replay of Shop Talk.
So is this your new thing now? You just walk in?
If there's a show, if the mics are hot, you walk in.
Cameo appearance.
I'm sorry. Is
not a bad idea.
Are you on the air now?
Not a bad idea.
Actually, B-Lo has B-Lo Lowdown. Today at
Fantasy Lowdown, yeah.
Fantasy
yeah,
Lowdown four at 4.
B-Lo has B-Lo Lowdown.
And we are expected to have Eric.
Unga Bunga.
We are expected to have Eric Casilius from ESPN, ESPN.com.
What do you think of him?
I think he's pretty good.
Yeah, whatever.
He's a fantasy guru?
He is a fantasy guru.
How is your fantasy team doing this year?
You got to be a little more specific, Fred.
Oh, yeah, many.
Three.
And?
Three. Only one of them am I really in contention this year.
Okay.
So there are my credentials.
That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for in my, my host.
Hey, you know,
fantasy expert,
you know,
Brian Lowe.
I never said expert. Guru.
Who's the best fantasy football player in the world?
Eric Casilius.
Is there one?
I think it's got to be me. I'm one for one.
Okay.
You know what? That's a pretty good percentage. If I do my math, it's about.
But there must be some guy who.
I bet you there are high stakes leagues out there with like $100,000 fees and ridiculous.
Someone,
yeah.
Like poker. Like,
yeah,
you
like Jimmy the Greek was like a gambler.
Right.
Like you said, the Texas draw, there's probably some guy that's like known as the best.
Well, Fred, did you see that new series that's coming out, I think on FX, called like The League, where lawyers and doctors who are heavy into fantasy football, it's about them, and it's like lawyers negotiating deals with other lawyers and injecting trades into it. I'll let your client, you know, serve just 6 years if you give me Owens.
You're kidding me.
Well, are you asking, am I kidding you that it's ridiculous there's a series about that or that that may actually exist?
No, that may actually exist.
You know what it sounded like to me? It sounded like one of those things when they were pitching it in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a good hour.
They should have pitched it.
Right.
That sounds like a good hour.
Yeah.
Maybe an hour and a half.
Right. Kind of like
this
show.
I don't know how they're going to have a series on it.
Yeah. It's a good hour, hour and a half, 2 hours,
well,
not really.
There's so many stations now, they're looking for content.
But FX usually has cutting edge.
B-Lo has a reality show.
I got to run. Got to go eat my lunch and prepare for the fantasy.
Oh, you
got
to run?
4 to 5 Eastern.
Hey, who was
going to practice?
You haven't gone to practice yet. That's right.
No, practice is in one half hour.
1:05 or something like that?
Yep. And then Eric usually pops in to
give
you the...
Hey, some cute new girls in the locker room, huh? You looking?
No, I was looking for players.
Why? He is taken.
He's not looking.
He's not looking.
By a tremendous woman.
He's all set.
Playing well above the rim.
Engaged yet?
No, Fred.
It's coming.
It's coming?
She's in the running, right? She has all the proper credentials.
She's in contention.
Okay,
she has,
has the necessary credentials.
As of right now,
Andy.
Does
she listen to the show?
God, I hope not. Much like Paul, I don't think she listens to my show, so I certainly don't think, unfortunately,
that's
for you.
Sad.
But Team PFW is very, very much two thumbs up.
Okay.
So
they higher on her.
They'd much rather hang out with her than me.
If you get tired, there's some... new girls in the locker room that you might want to.
All right, Fred.
Well, I'll
it was
keep that in mind, Fred.
The first time.
Fred,
I'm
going to run.
The new girl.
Got to get ready for practice, Fred. Fantasy Lowdown.
All right. Brian Lowe, Lowdown today at 4 o'clock.
B-Lo, what do you know about ESPN On Demand?
Nothing.
That's good. Great.
All right.
The media.
You forget your sandwich?
No.
Oh, you got
that's Eric's.
Oh, that's Eric's.
Signature.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. We'll be right back with your calls and emails.
He's not ready.
He's actually talking right now.
He actually can't even hear the show, I don't think.
Intern, not quite.
We'll be right back with your calls and emails.
We'll be
Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. Says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter.
We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football.
Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
You gone?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America and a member PIC. Copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
Right. So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Okay. All right, we're back. So, I'm used to, you know, a point, like go.
Well, he was pointing to you, but you were yapping.
All right.
Andy, where are all your brethren today? He can't hear, can he?
I can hear.
Oh. Why were you looking at Fred while I was talking? Where are all your
they're doing a run-through for some promotion during the game. Some lottery.
Oh, are they out on the field with, like, a big blow-up something?
Do I need to have that
around?
In first down?
What's blow that?
Do I need to have that in first down?
I don't know. But, yeah, this
some grandmother's
giving
going
away. She's getting $1 million. And then I think they're going to do something else. Is this the one where someone, yeah, they go around, they pick, they have these giant blow-up tickets, and there's 10 of them. One of them is $1 million.
I think there's 24, actually.
24. The minimum the person's going to win is 100 grand.
And how were these people selected?
What? They won.
They already won something.
They won
Some,
you know, from the
they won a
second
somehow.
Chance for the
wait, they're blow-up scratch-off tickets?
Not blow-up.
They're like huge cardboard things.
Yeah. So they're going to pick one, and they're going to have a chance to win anywhere from $100,000 to $1 million right there on the spot. Taxes taken right out there.
So, 600,000.
Yeah.
Right off the top.
But it's not bad. So, you know you're going to walk away with at least 100 grand.
60,000.
That's still. You going to sneeze at that?
No, I would love it.
Yeah?
Never pay a student loan again.
That would change my life. All right.
Not really.
A little bit.
A little, but not really.
Not really.
Not in any significant
way. A million would.
A million.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A million would change.
But 60K? No. It'd be nice.
No,
you'd benefit.
That would be gone in a day.
For you, it'd be a vacuum.
It'd be extremely nice, but it wouldn't change your life.
Yeah. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. We should remind people that you can buy those mass lottery tickets now. They're still out there. Win $1 million.
We're really supposed to be promoting the lottery. How does that work?
we can promote the lottery. There's nothing wrong with that.
Inside the Numbers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. We have it on our TV show.
Yeah.
Anybody watch that show?
No.
I'm not talking to you guys. I'm talking in general. Did anybody watch that show?
I thought it was a decent show we did this week.
I thought we were great.
Oh.
I thought the production value was...
Yeah, great. That oh, I didn't
preschoolish.
Now that you say it, I didn't actually
watch
it.
There were times when all three of us were on camera for at least 15 seconds while looking at the ceiling, looking at the ground.
Right.
Somebody else was talking.
All right, well, let's get back to this game.
Back to?
The Jets game.
Holy double reverses, Batman.
You know, my prediction was 27-17, only 10 points. I think it won't look that close, but it'll be that close just because the Jets give the Patriots just enough trouble on offense. You know, to keep it with around 10 points. What do you guys think?
That would be my score with no turnovers for the Jets.
Okay.
You know, for whatever reason, the Jets play a, you know, close to the vest offensively.
Well, is Tully Minton King going to play?
Don't turn it over, then I could see it being closer than a lot of people think.
Yeah.
But I'm looking for the turnovers to be the difference between a competitive game and a
are you looking for blowout?
Yeah.
Really?
38-10.
Andy?
A little less than that. I think I went with 30-13 on the. I think it's going to be a pretty easy victory.
Patriots get to Sanchez, sack him a number of times.
If Ninkovich and Banta can
they get
play.
Him dirty.
Yeah, they get him dirty.
Dirty Sanchez?
Yeah. We didn't have to say it. People knew that's what he meant.
But what I do is cross the line. You know this.
Right.
But yeah, I think it's going to be easy. You know, their offense clearly wants to run the ball. I don't think with Vince Wilfork they are going to establish the run in, what do they have, 170 a game? I don't think they'll be at 170.
They lead the league.
They're doing well at running.
You know what's really funny? Andy and
I have enough respect for Vince Wilfork where I generally assume they're going to stop the run.
Andy and I heard Herman Edwards this morning on Dennis and Callahan as we were driving to work, and they asked him, you know, what do you say if you're the Jets coach, you're spiraling, you lost 5 out of 6, you got to come up here to Foxborough, your coach is crying. What do you say if you're Rex Ryan? How do you get the players motivated for this game? And all of the stuff he said was really, really simple, but it was all fact. He says,
"Stick with the facts."
He goes, "Just stick with the facts." You know, we're the number one running team in football. We need to establish the run. We need to run the football effectively. They have a very good passing offense. They're number two in the league in throwing the football. Well, we're number two in the league in defending the pass. It's not you're not lying to them.
No,
you're hitting them with facts. And we have a defense that's capable of slowing down. They've had a hard time closing out. They just lost a game because they couldn't finish. We've had a hard time winning games because we can't finish.
Right.
You know, whoever finishes in the fourth quarter is going to win this game on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's what you deal with. You deal with facts. And it's funny because I don't really give the Jets much of a chance to win this game. Obviously, I feel like they're going to lose 38-10. But when I was listening to him talk, I'm like, maybe the Jets can give him a game. I don't know.
Look, as much as we make fun of Rex Ryan, I don't mind him. I think, you know, what he says isn't outrageous.
I like him.
You know.
I like him. I just like making fun of him as well.
Yeah.
I find that funny. But
he bought a few more points.
He's not offensive to me.
With the clean. You were offended earlier in the year.
No, I just thought it was kind of funny.
What is the phrase that he keeps using, you know, if you will?
If you will.
If you don't mind.
If you don't mind.
If you don't mind. I kept trying to think of exactly how he was saying
if
it
you
yesterday.
Don't mind.
Oh, to the fans?
Yeah.
I like him.
You know, I thought even yesterday he brought out the box of Kleenex.
That's how he bought back points
with
me.
That's funny.
You're making fun of it, making fun of himself.
Doesn't take it too seriously.
Yeah.
And I think too many of these guys do take it too seriously.
You know? I think he's pretty matter-of-fact, and I think he's genuine. I don't think he's putting on a
show.
He
might be genuinely a basket case.
He could be. No, that part
that's
of
the
it,
one issue.
The coaching part of it, I think
that
he's
might
in
be
trouble.
The issue. He might not just – he just flat out may not be good enough doing the stuff that you have to do as a coach.
Right.
You know, it's one thing to be a defensive coordinator. It's another thing to run the whole show. He might not be good enough.
Right.
Yeah. So if I was a Jets fan, I'd be a little bit – come on. You know, I might get a little impatient, but I think he is who he is. I don't think he's, trying to be something that he's not.
While we're at opposing coaches, it's not the Jets, but the Bills fired Dick Geron, and reports are that Mike Shanahan is going to be interviewed, given the option, whatever. But I said to Paul...
Would you want to go coach in Buffalo?
No, I don't think that's a very attractive...
Certainly not him. I mean, he's the suntan, he's TV boy, everything. But I said to Paul, but the reports are it's Shanahan,
can you imagine,
Gilbride.
Can you imagine how wide his eyes would get in December in Buffalo when it's really cold?
Oh, man.
But I'm sorry. Can you imagine the suntan bill that he'll – I mean, have to go to the suntan parlor.
Right.
But, then the next guy is Kevin Gilbride. Then there's one other name, and then there was one more name that I've never heard of. And thankfully, they followed it up with who's led the Montreal Alouettes or something to 15-2. That just tells me they're not really looking at Shanahan. They're doing that so it looks good and everything. They're going to hire somebody who's cheap again.
Right.
Because
isn't that
you can get the guy from Montreal for $250,000 or whatever. And sure, oh, there were rumors. We went after Shanahan. We just couldn't get it done, and he didn't want to come to Buffalo.
Plus,
I don't think they're really doing it.
As Andy pointed out this morning, don't forget it was Schefter.
Right.
Who has a great relationship with Shanahan.
Right.
He might just be doing Mike a favor.
Were they here the same day?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, matter of fact, that's when we had Chef Fred and I came and interviewed Schefter here, and we talked to him off the air a little bit about what Shanahan had to say right. And how impressed he was with, you know, obviously knowing how good Brady was, but just how impressed he was with Brady's aura on the practice field.
Could there be a worse fit than Shanahan in Buffalo?
No.
Maybe T.O. in Buffalo.
Well, who is
maybe
Buffalo have a GM right
it.
Now? Who's their GM?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they want him out, too.
Yeah,
well,
he's going to be gone, too.
I forget the guy's name.
He's certainly
look
not
this has to be. The search has to be done by Ralph Wilson, because if it's someone of Shanahan's caliber, this GM is out of a job.
I believe the GM is not really a football guy, so there might be a chance he just goes back to doing marketing or something. I don't know. Whoever this money marketing guy is that's kind of running the show there.
Is it, what's his name, ends with an AK?
No.
Not, why do I think?
Modrak?
Modrak.
No.
No.
I think it's Brannion, Russ Brannion? No. Who's that?
Anyway.
Baseball player, Russell Brannion.
But I thought that was interesting. Because those big names are starting to kind of be tied to places.
Well,
Holmgren in Cleveland, yep. Shanahan in Buffalo, whether you believe it or not.
Russ Brannion.
Yeah.
Russ Brannion is their chief operating officer. I'm not sure that's the guy you're thinking of.
Who's the next guy?
There's a lot of business guys. Modrak is the vice president of pro personnel.
It's
but that's not the guy under.
It's not
maybe
him.
Bill. No, government relations and external affairs.
I think it might be Modrak.
No, it's not. I know for a fact it's not.
John Guy. That's the guy. Vice president of pro personnel.
I don't think so.
This is the guy that they wanted out of there. Guy.
Guy.
They had the billboard that Giron.
Oh,
guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the one that this is the guy. John
well, the
guy.
Fans would know. So they want that guy out. So. But no, that's a bad situation.
But it'd be a good,
because if you even if you're Shanahan and they say, okay, Mike, you got full control. You don't have the facility. You don't have the money to spend.
Well,
you know, it's
I don't know. If he wants to go there, I think he'd have a decent chance to win.
I don't know. Facilities mean a lot to free agents.
What do they have? What do they don't have?
That's crap. It's crap. They have that field house. It's just not good.
We have the best facilities on the planet and this field house out there. That's my point.
No, but we also, everything's right here at the stadium. It's much better.
Isn't theirs right at the stadium?
I think it's.
What do you mean, no?
The field house is, but not all their learning facilities and all that
yes,
stuff.
Yes, it is. Their everything is right there.
It's right there?
Yes. Yeah. That's my point. I've never understood the whole, we have everything here, and everybody wants to come here. You know why they want to come here?
They win.
Because they have Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and they win.
Now, I could understand.
It's different.
If you
have better food.
I think if Mike Shanahan goes there, he has a chance to win. And I think if they're legitimately interested in winning, everybody thinks he's the Bill Belichick kryptonite, so you have to beat the Patriots to get there. Go after the guy who's got a record
Shanahan
against
never
Belichick.
Won anything after Elway left.
That's true.
Fred's already worried that Shanahan's going to Buffalo. He's already spinning things. They don't have the facilities.
Oh,
he never won anything without Elway.
He never did.
So, that's absolutely right about that.
And Bill's never won anything without Brady.
No, I'm just saying.
That's also true.
But no, I'm not disagreeing with that, Andy, but I'm just saying Shanahan in Buffalo does not automatically equal winning.
He's winning a hell of a lot more than Dick Geron in
Buffalo. He still has to have players.
I know.
And he doesn't have them right now.
Just like,
he's done a pretty good job in Denver of bringing players
in. What do you
think,
if Tom Brady retired next year, what do you think of the next 5 years for the Patriots? Don't you think they'd be all right?
It depends on who they get to replace him.
No, but it wouldn't be immediate, but they'd probably be all right. I mean, like, if
you
look at
trying to run him out of town again?
No, I'm just making a hypothetical. I mean, look at the empirical evidence. Belichick has been a head coach in this league 6 years. Without Tom Brady as his quarterback, he made the playoffs once.
Right.
That's fact.
Right.
Jack.
But I'm still pretty comfortable in saying there's nobody I'd rather have coaching my team than Bill Belichick.
No, and, you know, you have – but here's another thing that you have to look at. no organization with a bad owner wins. Okay, they might do it once, but not consistently. And the situation in Buffalo, the situation in Buffalo isn't a, from the top down isn't good. You have to have strong leadership from the owner on down.
I think it helps, and I've heard you were talking about Felger and Maz, and they were talking about this stuff a little bit last week. And I think it's important to not have a total buffoon as an owner, but I think you can be very average as an owner and be fine. I think you need to have a quarterback and a coach. If you have those two elements, I mean, Jimmy Johnson showed you in Dallas. I had a hard time saying that.
Jimmy Johnson.
But he showed you with Troy Aikman, Jerry Jones is no less of a buffoon today than he was then. I mean, he's still he was always a maverick, always a wild card, always thought he could pick the players. Jimmy Johnson was there. And Troy Aikman was there, and Michael Irvin and Emmitt Smith and all the other players, and they won three Super Bowls
in
4 years.
And the biggest offensive line in football.
Right. You know, so they didn't have the strong ownership. That guy's a clown.
How about the Rooneys? You don't respect the Rooneys.
That guy is detrimental to his football operation.
I think the Rooneys are good owners in that they understand what they don't know. And they leave it to a strong GM and a strong coach.
But how do you know Ralph Wilson wouldn't do that with Mike Shanahan?
Fred's criticism of the Rooneys are that they're lucky. They don't really have anything invested.
They
don't have any risk.
My criticism of this is a business thing. It's not nothing to do with football. They run a great organization when it comes to football, obviously.
But do they run it or do they let people run
That's what I mean. They understand how to run
it. So you think Ralph Wilson meddles?
I think he meddles. He told them to absolutely.
But there's a difference between meddling with Dick Geron and whoever we couldn't even find their media guide.
It's not just
and
that,
Mike Shanahan.
Not only that, but it's the whole economic climate up in Buffalo.
Is an issue.
Yeah, there's no big sponsorship dollars coming in. They don't have the money to spend.
I think they can spend to the cap. That's how you can play in this league.
But there's other things that aren't included in cap expenditure that the owner has to have money for.
I think they
whatever
compete.
That is,
they may not be a lucrative business. They may not be in the top end of revenue like the Patriots and the Redskins and the Cowboys. I think they can compete. I think they have enough of a market. They have enough money coming in.
I think
when you collect your check from the league for the TV are basically ready to compete.
You bring in a smart.
I think they have a passionate fan base.
If you bring in a smart personnel guy and a good coach, they're going to get some good players.
I'm not saying they have the money where they can just blow money on Albert Haynesworth every year, do whatever. But I think with the guy making the right decisions, there's enough of a revenue stream there to compete.
Yeah, they can.
You know, assuming the cap comes back.
Yeah, that's the problem with the teams that supposedly don't have the revenue to compete is that they take the revenue sharing checks and they put them in their pocket.
Right.
Well, same thing happens in baseball.
Yeah.
You know, everybody always bitches and moans about the inequities of baseball. Well, if Pittsburgh and Milwaukee and Kansas City and Minnesota and those teams weren't taking all the money that they got from the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Mets and the Angels, the few teams that go over the luxury tax, and putting it in their pocket, they'd probably be able to compete, like Tampa Bay has recently because they've gone out and they've drafted. Now, they're going to end up losing that great team because they won't be able to keep them all. But you can build a good team if you invest in it a little bit. You know, Minnesota has been able to compete for the most part, even when their owner has been – and when the Polads owned the team, that was as cheap an owner group as you ever had.
My only point was, if they really want to beat the Patriots, that's not a bad start. Go get Mike Shanahan. He's one of the guys that I think you can hand over football control. He's done it before.
If you're Mike Shanahan, you want at least $7 million a year?
I mean, that's what he was making, so I don't know.
The only way you could, you'd have to sell him and say, listen, Mike, you have all that money you just made for doing nothing, you know? Can you cut us a break here? Because there's no way they're going to pay
him.
Yeah,
they're not.
They're not going to pay him top flight
money. I don't think it's going to happen.
No, I agree.
I don't either.
Danny agrees, too.
But I think it would be a good step for them. Yeah. It's legitimacy.
In terms of the whole free agent, attractive.
They'll have a parade.
Attractive to free agents. I think
they should.
It's hard.
They did it when Bledsoe got there.
Right. And this guy can win.
It's.
Paul's just like, oh, God.
That was funny. But I think attracting free agents, you're dealing more with climate and stuff like that. I mean, I think the old Foxborough Stadium obviously was making it very difficult to attract free agents. But bottom line is if you pay guys and you win football games and you have a direction. If you had Mike Shanahan here and then people were saying, wow, they have Mike Shanahan, they drafted, Sam Bradford, and so-and-so out there. I don't know who the top free agents are, but, you know, some top free agent is ready to Vince Wilfork is ready to sign with Buffalo. Wow, they got some pieces in place. They're going in the right direction. I think, you know, say in 2011, you'd get people saying, well, I like what they're doing in Buffalo. I like where they're headed. They wouldn't be worried about, you know, whatever that Ralph Wilson's, I almost called it Rich Stadium, Ralph right. Wilson Stadium, and how bad it is. It's a dump. It is. But that, they don't care about that as much as they care about all the other
Nor
things.
Should they? They're going to work. They can do whatever they want in the offseason, whatever. There's big mansions there, so don't pretend you can't. It's not like you're living in a tent outside the stadium. There's big mansions in Buffalo, just like everywhere else. You take your money, you buy a nice home, and if you're winning, everything is beautiful. It's even sunny in Buffalo when you're winning.
All right, well.
But we all agree that there's
They're
no,
probably going to hire the guy from the Montreal
There's very little
or
chance that they're
going
to lure Mike Shanahan to Western New York.
Maybe he'll sell that painting everybody likes to mock him for. He's got some, like, $45 million painting over his couch.
Is that right? Of
Picasso?
Himself?
No. It's like a Picasso or some like.
Oh, yeah? Where'd he get that?
I'm assuming he bought it.
He has $45 million?
He owns an NFL team. I know you like to mock him for being poor, but he owns an NFL team.
Where'd he get his money, Wilson? Was he oil guy?
Footballs, I thought.
No. Do we know where.
Why, Kraft got his from macaroni.
That's good.
All right.
Lamar Hunt was an oil guy.
Johnson.
Right? Well, I know he will.
Johnson & Johnson. Oh, wait, he did.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Let's get to some email, shall we?
Yes, because remember, we have picks in the last half hour.
Let me just make sure. Oh, wait, there might be somebody on the phone.
I'm 50-50 as to whether he knows how to put him on the phone.
Yeah, Anthony in Naples.
Anthony, how are you?
Anthony, how you doing?
Pretty good. I have cauliflower here now for holding so long.
No, I'm just reading. It says Russell Brandon is the GM in Buffalo, and Anthony is on the phone.
He's the COO in Buffalo.
Okay, what do you got?
Well, first of all, I think when Ralph Wilson first bought that painting, it was probably only $1 million. I think he's that old where it eventually became $45 million.
Right.
But,
probably.
You know, who knows? But I honestly, talking about the Shanahan thing, there's no way he's going to Buffalo. There's no way.
I agree.
It's not happening.
I agree, you know, but it's fun to talk about.
Yeah, it's fun to talk about. But you know where I really think he's going? He's going to Chicago. He's got the quarterback there. If they go into an uncapped year, he's able to buy the wide receivers he wants or whatever position that he needs, and they go out and probably buy. They have enough money to buy a championship, you know, as in Chicago. That's just how I feel. I think Lovie Smith really has, you know, run his course, and I think they should just cut that guy loose.
I agree with you on that. It would be interesting to see what Shanahan thinks of Cutler. I find Cutler very abrasive, and I wonder Shanahan, having brought him into the league and having worked with him, I wonder if he still loves him.
Yeah, but I think Shanahan had the personality to deal with him, and Cutler respects him because he drafted him. And I think, you know, offensive minds like that, they probably – I just feel like he respects him. So I don't think he really acts that way towards Shanahan. And, you know, Shanahan's very abrasive,
No kidding.
You know, so I think he smacks the kid and tells him to shut up and stop throwing interceptions. I honestly think that's what, you know, made him better. You know, he kind of like basically held that horse down. That's how I felt.
Cutler was second in the league in interceptions last year under Shanahan.
All right, you got a literal Paul.
No, I think Andy's point is dead on. I'm not sure that Shanahan's in love with Cutler. I'm not sure that's the kind of guy he wants.
I don't know.
I think he's a very wild, reckless guy with the football. I think the big problem with Jake Plummer was he made mistakes at key times, and it drove Shanahan crazy. And this Cutler is the same way. He's a more talented version of Jake Plummer.
Is anyone thinking that last game, the one where
he was on the take?
No, that he was that he was drunk.
That is,
he
that,
was,
is that literal?
That he was on something.
Could have been.
I thought he was on
his
something.
His blood sugar was low, maybe.
He did not look right.
You know what's funny that you say that, Fred? Every time I look at him, he looks like a drinker. He's got that bulge like a drinker, kind of like Paul does. You know, he's just like a little fatter neck. You know, a little bit more of a pot belly. That's just how he looks.
Pot belly, okay, but fat neck.
No.
I don't have a fat neck.
He looked at me. His eyes look glassy.
Anthony, I'm way down on you right now.
His eyes look glassy. I thought, I said,
well,
he's drunk.
You do know there's a knock on him for that, right?
Yeah. Well, I know he drinks a lot off the field. or has in the past.
It's hard to drink on the field.
I would hope he's not Bobby Lane and actually drinking on the field.
I don't know.
In this day and age with all the cameras,
Sanchez,
I think it'd be hard.
Eating a hot dog.
Yeah, he got killed for
it. I know. But no, but I seriously thought that, wow, this guy doesn't look right. He looks like he's on something or drunk.
Maybe.
Yeah, I
I'm not gonna, with these guys nowadays, I'm not going to dismiss anything as out of hand.
Yeah.
It's not good when you, like, what was it, the first 2 weeks in town, you're already seen out in the scene drinking it up.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, it's, I don't know, I just, to me, that just shows the immaturity of him. And he seems arrogant, and when they show him on the sidelines, he's always off by himself, and he has that face like he blames everyone else besides
himself.
Oh,
absolutely. Yeah.
You know, and
I get the impression he doesn't
crazy.
Care that much. Like, it doesn't seem like the interceptions bother him that much. You know,
yeah,
you see Brady and Manning, they look like they just lost, like, one of their own when they go to the sideline after a pick. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, we saw that look out of Drew too many times.
But right.
Drew used to look like he wanted to kill somebody when he threw a pick.
Right.
Yeah. But the reason why I call, guys, actually, I listened to the two podcasts, and it was brought out in the media how, you know, there's no veteran presence on that defense to say, hey, give us a shot with the ball, referring back to, obviously, the Colts game.
Yep.
You know what I thought of after that game? I really thought, you guys always had a theory, hey, is Bill being spread too thin? And I felt like maybe that was the moment that maybe he was spread too thin.
No.
Like, Well, hear me out on this point, though. It, like, my point is that when I look at the coaching staff, I feel like there isn't, like, there isn't a peer amongst him. Like, everybody else has kind of, like, been brought up by him and really wouldn't question his authority. Now, I'm not saying, like, in front of the team, obviously Romeo Crennel will say, hey, no, give us a chance with the damn ball. But I think Romeo would talk to him, like, you know, privately and say, listen, I think these guys can do it. Come on, give us the ball. Yeah, I just feel like they don't have that presence in that coaching staff to do that.
You know, I don't think that the whole fear of Belichick being spread too thin is way off base. A couple years ago or 2-3 years ago when people first started saying about it, I think when Weiss left, I thought then, you know, but now I think there might be some validity to that.
Well, you have guys that are now in positions that are even less experienced than the guys that were in those positions
right.
2 or 3 years ago.
Right.
Right.
So it's, I think it is more legit now.
You know?
I think it's a fair, because I think some of the guys here, we talked about Bill O'Brien, and obviously this wouldn't be Bill O'Brien's situation because he's on the offensive side of the ball, but Bill O'Brien to me is a great young coach, relatively young coach. He's young in this system.
And
I think he's going to be a great coach.
And from what they say, and you
everybody
smart.
You talk to raves about him.
Yeah.
But he hasn't been here as long as Josh McDaniels was.
Right.
As he elevated through the same kind of steps. And I think no matter how good he is, there's a comfort level with having a longer history with a guy.
Yeah.
Romeo had that, obviously, going way, way back with Belichick. So there's not a ton of those guys. You know, Matt Patricia maybe is developing into that. He's the guy on the sideline now. Dean Pease isn't even on the sideline. And I'm not sure it's in Dean Pease's personality to be that guy to challenge Bill. Maybe Matt Patricia's that guy. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. But I think there's something to be said for there's not a lot of guys with strong personalities that might be willing to challenge Bill at that time.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a difference between doing it then.
I think
and
Scott O'Brien might be, but he's special teams.
Right.
You know,
it's
like,
different.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a difference
but
between
Dante
doing it.
Dante Scarnecki might do
see,
it.
See, I don't.
Too, but
I'm not sure it's in his personality.
I think Dante is. I go along with the leader.
I kind
That's,
of agree.
Yeah.
And he's a military guy.
Yeah.
All those guys have to listen to me, but he's ahead of me. I listen to him.
Right.
Yeah, good point.
But I think like, and it's different. Dean Pease might say on a Tuesday, "Bill, do you really want to match up Will High? You know some." There's a difference between doing that and doing it Sunday night with the game on the line, 4th and 2, and we have 6 seconds to make this decision.
Right.
Those are two very different things.
Yeah. I just, you know, I just felt like Weiss and both of them, Crennel, like they went up with him. Yeah. And I felt like maybe if they were there, they probably would have convinced them. And you know what? On another point, too, you know how I'm off the Maroney wagon.
Yep.
Although I feel like he's getting too much blame on this last game. It's frustrating to watch, but I honestly feel like it's play calling as well because I feel like if he gets stopped two times in a row, that's it. They give up on the running play.
I
never
totally
back
agree with
again.
That. I think that they are always looking for a reason to stop running the ball. I agree.
Exactly.
I totally agree with you. And Fred talks about that all the time. Early in games, it looks like there's some stuff there and there's some production there. Now, there wasn't this week. Maroney was stopped from beginning to end this particular week. But there have been times where I thought they were running the ball reasonably well. And then they have two bad plays in a row, and that's it.
Can you look at Maroney's first four runs, though? I thought he looked pretty good.
He averaged 2 yards a carry.
Throughout the game.
He had 13 carries.
Early on,
he
was getting some yards.
But the bottom line is, I think that gets back to the whole, the Wildcat, everything. You have Brady Moss and Welker, so the ball, you want the ball in their hands more often than not.
I'm not.
How long do you give Maroney to prove this
overall,
is going to be a good game,
I have no
not a
problems
bad one.
With the offense. I have no
I
problem
don't really
with
either.
No, I don't. I mean, they need to be. They need to finish. It's, that's, the, that's the theme
that's
right
the
now.
Problem I have, and I compare it to the Red Sox lineup. You know, everybody told me the Red Sox were second in the league in runs scored. Well, that's fine. The Patriots score a lot of points, but do they get the 6 points they need when they need them? Or do they beat up on Tennessee, Tampa, you know, the Andy Hart High School Baseball, how to keep a high average by beating bad teams theory?
You know, a lot of people say, and it's true, like, you know, back
that's
in 04, you know, when they had Corey Dillon, they get to the end of the game and they just start pounding Dillon and they just wear down the other team. But, you know, maybe the way this team, finishes games is going to no huddle. Maybe it's the opposite.
Well, they've done that at times. You know? We've seen them close out games with spread them out, just do it that way.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's their version of wearing down a team.
They were throwing the ball.
Yeah,
they threw the ball three out of the four plays. And
I know, that didn't work
out
well.
You can't really say they were conservative.
Were they in no huddle when they did that?
I don't think so.
No. But I want the ball in Brady's hand.
Yeah, the clock was stopped. I mean, it was a different kind of situation. I don't think you want to go no huddle when you're trying to milk the clock.
Well, I think maybe that milking the clock isn't the way this team can win at the end of the game. That's my point.
But that just makes your job twice as difficult.
I know.
You have to get twice as many first downs.
I understand
that.
But
one first down ended the game Sunday.
I understand that. But maybe this team isn't built to
get a first down?
No.
now, Anthony, that was sarcasm.
to run the clock, you know, with their running back.
They're not.
They're not willing to do that.
Willing or able.
The four-minute offense has been a very, very successful part of the Patriots over the last several years. In this particular season, it hasn't been. They haven't been quite as effective situationally, with the exception of maybe opening night when they were just perfect in situations when they scored quickly before the two-minute warning, got the fumble on the kick, and then scored again. Other than that, it hasn't been really effective. What are you laughing at?
Yeah. It wasn't Paul. Nothing he said was
funny. They have on TV, they're showing Brett Favre, and he just goes up behind guys and just whacks them on the ass as hard as he can. It's pretty funny, actually.
You people, you hate Brett Favre, you love Brett
Favre. You know how I know you're gay?
How?
You're laughing at guys getting whacked in the ass.
Well, the NFL Network is showing it.
You had a dream about a guy's unit.
On his hip. And you think it was okay because it was on his hip.
All right, Anthony. Thanks for calling.
Did he hang up on us or did you call
him?
Yeah,
he probably just said, you know what,
I think he probably had enough.
These guys are just babbling. They aren't even listening to me anymore.
All right. Let's see what we've
got
here.
You missed a good argument yesterday, by the way.
Oh, I'm really sad about that. What was the argument about? And
Maroney.
Who were the participants?
Maroney.
You and Fred?
We're the only ones here, so yeah.
Oh, Eric didn't come down?
He took forever, and I don't know. He doesn't
know. Has life
anything.
Taken forever?
He refused to say that his sweater was plum and not burgundy.
Yeah, you missed that. That's a separate fight.
It's burgundy, Fred.
He got very pompous.
Wait a minute. You guys got in a fight over the color of his sweater?
Yes.
And the difference between plum and burgundy.
I wasn't involved.
But
you guys blame me for every time we veer off course, it's always my fault for getting an argument. You guys had an argument over the color of his sweater. Please.
I wasn't involved again. I got into, you know, relevant football arguments.
Yeah, I'm sure you had a good meaty argument about Lawrence Maroney.
He loves him, but the team's just not built to run
the ball. I don't love him.
Why is it not built to run the ball, Paul? Because your first-round running back isn't good.
Here's the bottom line with Maroney. Too often, he is at a standstill when he reaches the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. No, that's his problem.
If you want to delay when you get the ball and you want to...
His problem isn't speed. It's not power. Aside from, you know, last game, it's not turning the ball over. It's like what you said. It's decisiveness. Yeah, you're right.
But you just want to hand him the ball.
And that's a mental
thing,
and I think he can overcome it.
But how long are you going to give him?
Overcome it. Be decisive.
How long are you going to give him?
Be decisive.
How long are you going to give him? 10 years? 20 years?
That's
when he's out there with a walker?
Missing.
As long as he's wearing the silver and blue.
Oh, my. You're such a fraud.
But as the amount of time that has gone by, to expect things to change to me is foolish.
I know what you're saying. Leopards don't change their spots, right? Is that what you're saying?
Or stripes, as I say.
Salim in D.C., D.C., writes in, "Hey, guys, and not Eric because you're never around. Love the show. Gets me through the failures of DC sports. I've been a Pats fan since I started watching football, and I was wondering if there has been any news on Sammy Morris or Fred Taylor's return. If not against the Jets, then against the Saints. We will need to have a running game. The horribly abysmal Rams stayed within 5 points on the back of Steven Jackson. The Panthers did the same. Same with the Falcons. If we can run and keep it close like these pretty bad to moderately talented teams, we're way better than them, and if we can run well, we'll win. I think it will be less important against the Jets because we've got Wes Welker, the best slot receiver in the league, and they can't shut down both Moss and Welker." So Salim is saying,
"No, thank you.
Running game is key to beating the Saints."
I agree with that, and that's why, you know, a while ago when you asked me who to pick the Saints, I thought Carolina could run it right down their throats. I think you can run on them. I think Sammy Morris is probably going to play this week, so he should be back for the Saints game.
He walked in the locker room today without a limp.
Right, and he's been practicing.
Looked good.
I think he's ready to be back. Everybody has talked about how it's good to have him back. So I think he's going to play this week, and maybe he will. I'm not sure you're just going to hand him the ball and expect to beat the Saints by Sammy Morris running it down their throats.
No,
though.
Because, you know,
maybe you run it out. Maybe
New
you
Orleans,
get that 21-point lead, and then all of a sudden Sammy Morris is pounding him.
You might be better equipped to put the game away.
Right, with Sammy
Morris. Sammy Morris than you were last week.
Yeah.
But the problem with that theory is New Orleans offensively against St. Louis in particular, the game wasn't a blowout because they kept turning the ball over. If the
right.
Patriots defense forces all those turnovers, Drew Brees threw two picks in, early.
Right.
They fumbled later. That's what allowed the game to stay close. The St. Louis played very well, but if you're running the ball and then the Saints are just throwing it all over the place and scoring, you can't, at some point, you're probably not going to be able to keep running the ball. It's hard to it's hard to keep pace like that.
Unless you do what Miami did and you're just, you know.
Yeah, well, but you have to score touchdowns.
Right,
and you know, that, now you're getting into your finish then.
That's right.
If you're in the red zone and you're scoring touchdowns, you can do anything you want offensively.
Yep. And let's face it, that's not who the Patriots are. They're, you know, big plays to Randy Moss, down the seam to, you know, Watson. You know, that's what they do.
The finish thing is the biggest argument. That's why they've lost games. They did nothing in the second
half.
It's
like the college thing, you know, where they all put the four fingers up in the air, you know, for the fourth quarter.
It's glaring because of the finish against the Colts, but Denver and New York were the same things. That's why you lost games.
Yeah.
You know, you think back to that Denver game. The Patriots got the ball around midfield, I think it was. And you're thinking to yourself, tie game, 2.5 minutes left, 2 minutes left. This is a gimme. They need one first down to kick a field goal and win in Mile High. And on consecutive plays, Sammy Morris fumbled. They got it back. And then Tom Brady got strip sacked, and they couldn't get that one back. And they ended up losing in overtime. Just finishing.
Reed from the Cape.
It's a story for everybody. Wasn't that the Steelers' motto early in the year when they weren't finishing games? Nobody in the league can finish. All these great quarterbacks.
Gets back to my thing. I don't think they're any really good teams in the league.
Reed from the Cape. I haven't written in a while, and there is something that I need to get off my chest worse than Fred needs to shave his chest. When I hear stupid emails write about how Belichick has lost it and should be replaced, or how Manning is better than Brady just because he won Sunday and Tom supposedly blew the game, even though he nearly threw for 400 yards and three scores, I see why other teams' fans hate us. We're so freaking reactional that I start to feel like we are becoming spoiled New York fans. I mean, seriously, last time I checked, 6-3 is a pretty good record. There are 20 teams in the league who would kill to have it. So why do some feel like it's the end of the world that we lost on Sunday? It just really aggravates me that the opinions of the dumb, stupid, and reactionary are what is being heard nationally. I see why Paul hates the fans. I did not write this email.
I had a feeling I was coming to come in this.
I did not write this email for any of the PFW fans because, for the most part, they know what they're talking about. I wrote it for some of the idiots on EEI and the Sports Hub who make Patriots fans seem spoiled. All right, I'm done with my rant. Let's beat down the Jets and their pickle-puffing head coach this Sunday. That's probably not good to say. P.S., I got 3 new people to download the podcast this week, doing my best to spread the gospel that is P. PFW.
Well done, nice. Reed.
That's what we need, the viral nature
good
of
job,
Reed from
Reed.
The Cape.
We do.
Good, solid rant. Nothing like a rant.
That should be the rule. If you're going to have the audacity to say it's time for Bill to go, you got to replace him. You got to come up with the person. Okay, you're the owner. You got to hire him.
First of all, you should also get the requisite lobotomy if you really think the coach needs to get fired.
Because it's like when we debated the after Bill, who's next, put him on that little poll thing. Who's next? Who do you want? Even if you could hire somebody away from another team, who would you hire as your head coach? Fred, who would you hire?
If Belichick,
if Bill's gone, who are you hiring?
It's a good question. I mean, my answer like 2-3 years ago was John Fox or Fisher, but I don't know anymore.
Shines off of those guys.
Yeah. Fox might be available.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe, you know,
Jake Steele.
Maybe I go with Gruden. You know, I don't know. It's hard.
After he has his TV hiatus.
I don't like Gruden.
Because I got to figure that there's some college coach or some other guy that
definitely
could,
don't want
that,
college.
That could be a great head coach. We just don't know about.
I do want to ask, there is a little caveat here. Is Bill gone or is Bill in the front office? Would be another.
No, he's gone.
Okay, he's gone.
Yeah.
Coaching lacrosse.
Because if he's here, then I'm okay with a lesser-known guy.
College coach or Matt Patricia.
Because it's still going to be Bill's team.
Right.
You know?
So John Gruden would be your guy, huh?
I don't know.
I don't like Gruden.
I think he'd bring a lot of energy. His flame might go out quicker than a Belichick. He might only last like 6-7 years.
Well, if I can get seven good years out of him, or five good years.
But I think while he's here, at least initially, he'll energize. He'll you know, the players will listen to
really
him.
Really tough to work for.
Yeah.
Well, he's here like 3 in the morning.
Not that Belichick is, right, you know, a picnic, I could imagine. But, I mean,
very demanding. What Dean said this week about Bill, I think, is right. They know what they're getting, whether you're a player or an assistant coach. You know what Bill is. I'm not sure you know what Gruden is. I think he could be a different guy week to week.
He could be. He's very mercurial, it seems. Where's Eric?
He's good on TV, though.
That's good, Fred.
Yeah.
I don't know. The last guy we got that who was mercurial has been pretty good. Randy Moss has had about 40 touchdowns since he was called that when he came here.
Let's see. 508-543-7482 is Mike from Puerto Rico on the phone. Mike, how you doing?
Walking away from the ledge.
Walking away from the ledge.
I thought you were being literal
there.
Yes.
How high is the ledge?
Oh, it's about, 90 feet high, more or less.
Okay. That's not too bad. You can do that.
Broken ankle, maybe.
90 feet?
Oh, 90? Oh, 90. Oh, 90? Don't jump.
The only other ledge that's been this high was the Super Bowl loss.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
I don't know why, and I try to disconnect myself. Basically, I found myself doing the same thing that I did after the Super Bowl loss. I completely disconnected from everything, even from you guys, because I just did not want to hear it, did not want to talk about it. Even my wife was concerned. My brother was calling me every day, checking up on how I was doing, because it was, I mean, that was one of the most excruciating experiences watching football that I've ever had, to be honest with you. So I don't know what the rest of the fandom feelings are, but that's just my take on this small island here in the Caribbean.
I think it was pretty much unanimous as far as the fans go, Mike. That was a tough one to swallow.
Okay. Because you start to rationalize and looking at the, you know, positive things about everything. I mean, we're 6-3. We're in pretty good shape. We basically own the division is in our control if we want it. Because if we win out our division games and a couple of the other games, I mean, we'll get into the playoffs with very little to no problem whatsoever. We went into an undefeated team's house, and we gave them, you know, we gave them all they could handle. And it took, you know, basically a finish for the ages to win out that game. So, and a decision that is questionable. I got to go back and listen to your opinions on what the call was on that fourth down. But even more intrigued than that fourth down, to me it was actually the third down was more intriguing than the fourth down. So, because if he went into that drive with the opinion or with the sense that it was going to be four down territory, then I believe it should have been that we should have ran the ball on third down, try to get it a little bit closer and eat off a little more time rather than throw that incompletion out to
Well, a lot of people agree with you, Mike. A lot of people agree with you. The question is, did they know that they were going to go for it regardless, and that's up for debate?
Yeah, and then the only person that knows that is who?
Bill.
Are we ever going to find out?
No.
So it's just I'm just hoping I just hope that we go into this game because it's actually it's a good thing that we're coming home, but we already lost to the Jets, and you know we're going to be in bounce back mode, but I believe they will be too because they figured they beat us once in their house, and now they're going to face a team that they already beat, try to get on the W column once again. So I just hope we can get at least this one, and if somebody doesn't knock off the Saints, that we do we knock them off. Because the thing that kills me the most is the chance that the Colts could actually get our record. That's the thing that actually bites me the most.
All right,
everybody. I'll talk to you later, and go Pats.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Hey, before we run out of time, I have to thank Paul Darville from London for today's lunch.
Tremendous.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Thank you, Paul. And he has an email. Hey, Sanchez haters and Fred. Hope you enjoy your lunch. Brian was helpful, as always, in sorting it out with me. Consider it as a birthday present from me to you, even though it was my birthday, not yours.
Happy birthday.
Nothing says happy birthday like buying someone else lunch.
And make sure Bilo gets some of the food as well. Just a quick timeout, but a quick thought for Gary, Michael, and Lori. I can't believe the year has passed already. Hopefully things are working out for G and Lori, as I know Mike is enjoying his new career, even though he misses it here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we heard from Mike recently. He's
doing some graphics as part of his overall.
You know, maybe someday our paths will cross again. Who knows?
Maybe.
That would be great.
Anyway, a few things. Andy, I have the BBC news report that you were on. I recorded it on my satellite system. I'll video the recording onto my phone and send it your way at some point soon.
Nice. I'd appreciate that for my files I can bring it up anytime Eric gets pompous. Me on BBC.
When he's at his next interview, do you know that I was on the BBC? And I'll just take the phone out. And
you're a BBC fan, are you?
I can find decent flights, I'm considering coming out for the Week 16 game, which I think is the Jags. I'm expecting snow, but how much Brady Moss and the rest of the first string should I expect to see? It all depends.
They need the game.
Yeah, the situation is very much in the air.
Yeah, we don't know. Finish with some quick over-unders. Patriots passing TDs, 3.5.
This week?
Yeah.
Under.
Under.
Under. Patriots rushing TDs, 1.5.
Over.
Over.
Push.
Patriots defense or special team TDs, 0.5.
Over.
Over.
Percentage of rushing plays with Maroney, 50%.
Under.
Under. That mean if they run the ball 20 times and he doesn't get 10 carries, that's under?
Yeah.
Okay. Under.
Sacks or interceptions, 4.5.
Under.
Or combo.
He has or.
So combined.
Combined. 4.5.
I say over.
I say under.
Under.
Stupid overreacting comments on the curse words, not by Fred, 25.5.
Over.
Yeah, we got a lot.
Hopefully by Fred is now an option because I want to take the over on that one, too.
I tell you, they were pissed at me.
Why?
Because at the Colts game, there was a point where I thought the game was over. And I was like, that huge sucking sound you hear is the wind coming out of the Colts fan's sails.
I mean, obviously I'm biased because I gave a very early nod in that game.
Right.
But listen.
You know, but
the way I try to figure these out, obviously we're emotionally involved. We cover this team every week. Try to take the emotion of the fandom for the Patriots out of it. So forget about the reverse psychology and the jinxes and all that stuff. Think of it in terms of two other teams are playing and you're just watching a game.
Right.
Pittsburgh was playing New Orleans Sunday night.
Right.
And the game unfolded exactly the same way, and Pittsburgh had the lead the whole time. Are you telling me you would have been concerned if you were rooting for the Steelers?
Right.
The only thing I'll say is
it would
now.
Have been any thought in the back of your mind you would have had that
now,
game was not going to be won?
I think
won?
Now you no longer do that. Patriots, Colts.
Right.
Totally different.
I think it's different now.
I'm talking about
it's the series.
Remove that is what I'm saying. Pittsburgh and New Orleans, same kind of thing. Pittsburgh is a balanced team with good offense, good defense.
Right. Yeah.
And New Orleans is a high-flying offensive team. If New Orleans was down at home 17 points in the fourth quarter to New Orleans, and you're just watching the game, Joe Patriots fan is watching the game, there's no one thinking, wow, the Steelers could lose this game.
But
nobody.
See, the problem I had is I went into this game thinking that the Patriots are going to blow them out.
And it came about exactly the way you
went. I was like, okay, here we go. And then
people did leave. A good chunk of people left.
I said it's
a lot of those Colts fans.
I said, you know what's funny about this? A lot of these people weren't here to see it.
And they deserve it. And now, you know what? I hate people that leave early.
There were not a lot of empty seats, it didn't look like, but there were people going up the tunnel.
Well, everyone had blue shirts on, and the seats are blue, so they all look full. But
I wouldn't have left a game like that early, but I've left games early.
I don't leave early.
Well, you. But, you know, everybody.
That Atlanta Falcons game at home in 98, 41-10, something like that, I left in the third quarter.
A lot have of you ever grabbed a woman's breast while celebrating?
Andy Hart.
This is a serious question based on an email yesterday where people said it's great when you jump up and down and celebrate and you cop a quick feel on a woman. I swear to God.
That's assault, brother.
Wasn't it in an email?
Yes.
And I said, that's why I need to start celebrating more.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, so the people on the blog were like,
am I the only one that was repulsed?
Just so you know, Fred said you don't take part in those celebrations because you don't like when people grab your breast.
He's such a douche. Anyway. There's nothing like celebrating like that when you're at a game and then you end up high-fiving perfect strangers and stuff.
Right. I'll tell you
never
what's better,
once did I think about sexually assaulting somebody. That's frightening. I only hope that was like in jail.
Partially.
The people on the blog were all like, Fred, this is your fault. You jinxed us.
Oh, they must have been killing me.
Oh, they were killing me. But you.
I gave the nod. Yeah, you put it up there, right?
Yeah.
I have to retire that. And William actually wrote in. William Reeder or Roeder, what's his name?
William Roeder.
Roeder. He says that I need to. I need to officially retire the nod.
I agree.
He's right.
Yeah. Paul finally writes in, the PFW Awards will be back in a month's time, so get on PFWProgress.com. You can start nominating some of the best moments of the show. So, again, Paul, thanks for the lunch. Came at a good time around noon.
Came at lunchtime.
Came at a good time. Lunch.
So, let's see. 508-543-7482. John in Seattle's on the phone. We'll get his call because we got to do the picks pretty soon. We got to hurry. So, John, how you doing?
It's late this week. No more.
Doing great. Driving to the airport. I was told you guys had moved on from Indy, and now I'm listening to you guys still talking about Indy.
That was email-driven.
I was hoping, unfortunately, I was in the car, and I normally download the podcast rather than listen to you live. I was hoping to call, and I would have called and planned to call, to say, hey, the defense finally won one for us. But that was not to be. So I'll keep it brief since you're going into the pick. What reassurance do you give to all of us who are about to drive off the highway and kill ourselves that the defense will come together for the rest of this season? Or are there no assurances?
Well, I can't give you that. I was a big fan of this defense. I, like you, thought you were going to point to this, and they did a good enough job against Peyton Manning. They're growing, all that.
Mm-hmm.
Then Bill pulled the rug out from underneath them and me.
I have no fear that – I don't think that this defense is going to crumble because of that game.
I don't care about that game. I feel about this team the same way I felt going into the season.
Me too, except I felt different 2 days ago.
They will go as far as the offense takes it. And the offense is every bit capable of winning – any game it plays.
Just not getting a first down.
Just not getting a first down. I mean, I must admit.
It's all on the offense. To me, the offense is the reason why they had that big lead, and the offense is the reason why they lost that big lead. I agree.
John Rook said that anybody who thought that they should have gone for it was a liar. I was one of the ones who said to himself, you know, in his apartment, running around like an idiot, saying they should go for it because I realized they won't get the first down. They won't get the ball back. Peyton Manning will run the clock out and get a touchdown, just like the games we won't mention. And you saw it coming. Now, I'm not saying I agree with what Belichick did because I don't have the football savvy to say he should have done something else. All right, enough. Let's kill the Jets and enjoy your day.
You too.
All right.
See you, John.
All right. Good stuff, John.
Raining in Seattle is winter.
Steve says from Toronto, great show, been a Patriot fan since the days of Grogan and Cunningham. Listening to the show since the draft this year, very entertaining. The Alouettes coach is Mark Tressman. I've heard that name.
I have too. He's a college coach.
49ers offensive coordinator for a while.
He was in college for a while too, so he does have NFL ties.
Right. He has been the head coach at North Carolina State, offensive coordinator with the Raiders, Cards, and Browns, assistant under Gruden and Bud Grant, among others. And I respectfully disagree with Paul. Cornerback Raymond Claiborne should be on the all-time team with Mike Haynes. They were the best cornerback combo in the NFL for all the years they were together, hands down, maybe all time. There are others that could be mentioned, but I don't have time to look them up right now. Thanks for the great show. P.S. Doc 2, you guys should be nicer to him. John treats him very respectfully on the playbook, even calls him by name, and that show runs smooth as silk.
Well, maybe if our show ran smooth as silk, we would treat him with some respect.
Yeah. Eric's here.
I love Raymond Claiborne, by the way, but he wasn't as good as Ty Law. Go ahead.
Eric's here.
It's not really fair if you're riding
fresh off the practice field. You don't look too cold, though. Is it nice out?
It's because he's got a sweater on.
I had a sweater and a jacket. And no, it's not really that cold out
today. A gray sweater today?
It wasn't so bad.
Mm-hmm. V-neck?
V-neck.
How many sweaters do you have?
Enough to bother you.
Jesus. Anyways.
And it does.
Now, was your sweater yesterday plum or burgundy?
Burgundy, sir.
Okay. You heard it definitively from the...
Yeah. He was actually going to bring in the Land's End catalog that showed
And he asked me to bring in the Land's End catalog.
And you didn't. So maybe
I don't
you're
need
making
to prove anything
stories.
To you. That's why.
Yeah, you do. Your track record is shaky.
I don't need to prove anything to you.
All right. Eric, just off the practice field, what do you got for us?
Good news. Four players returned to practice, including Moss, who wasn't injured, as always, on Wednesday. Sam Aiken returned. Gary Guyton.
Surprising, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. And Ty Warren.
Tyrone Warren?
No, Ty Warren. I couldn't get that out. So the five missing, Fred Taylor, Rob Ninkovich, Steve Neal, Tully Bantakine, Jarvis Green. Shells and shorts again today, Freddie. Well, or sweats. Some guys had shorts.
Any sweaters?
No sweaters. No, sweatshirts, though.
What if Gerard Mayo came out in a V-neck sweater?
Would it be burgundy or plum?
I think he'd be asked to go change.
So no hitting, it looks like, this week.
No hitting.
No serious full contact hitting.
Well, there's so bad. I mean, how many guys were on the injury report yesterday? Like
nine.
Well, there were nine guys.
Nine
out.
Guys out.
No, I know, but in total, what was it?
Oh, there was like 15.
Oh, probably
four or five others at least.
Yeah.
They're a banged up team right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's you know what? They don't have very many guys on IR right now.
Right.
But they have a significant amount of guys that have
a lot
been
of bumps and bruises.
Banged up.
Yeah. Guys in various states of participation, as
exactly.
Bill likes to put it.
All right, and the general mood out there, would you say?
Very lighthearted.
Lighthearted.
Jovial. Moss was holding court again, telling some ridiculous story and including Mayo in it. We couldn't really hear all of it.
It wouldn't have mattered.
But it was just,
I've heard Moss tell stories. I don't know what he's saying.
Moss
all I
was
do
saying,
is money.
Yeah. Moss was saying, hey, Gerard, Bill doesn't like you in the defense. Aha.
I doubt it.
I don't think that's what he was saying, but it was pretty funny. Everybody was kind of...
Okay.
Yeah, it was actually...
good.
Imagine if that was what they were talking about. Like, well, if you guys could just fall down and get in Peyton Manning's way, we wouldn't have to go for it on fourth down.
Mayo said, but Bantakine was
hurt. Speaking of grabbing breasts, Shannon, who was the one that said that's what he does.
Unbelievable. I hope Shannon was
He says, it's not sexual assault when it's your wife. And who doesn't enjoy some good old-fashioned motorboating?
Oh, you motorboating?
Besides, I just try to get Fred to say breasts in every email.
Absolutely.
Get over it. Get over your repulsed reaction, Sally Cakes.
I'm still
Sally Cakes.
Who was repulsed?
I am.
About,
that's assault, brother.
Is this a guy from celebrating by grabbing the...
Yeah, they didn't have an email, but someone said that, you know, did you ever celebrate anything by grabbing a random woman's breast?
Yeah, that was from yesterday.
That
right?
was Shannon.
Because, you know, Paul used to be Mr. Patriot fan, travel, road
well,
games.
When I could be, in, you
sure.
know, the last
it up.
The right. last time I got a chance to do that happened to be Super Bowl 36 when I was in the stands in the Superdome and I was high-fiving strangers when Tabucky Jones returned that fumble.
Did well, you, Paul...
Because I didn't see the
cop
flag.
One?
Did you cop one?
No.
Well, Paul, prepare to get repulsed again because okay. Shannon says this weekend will be the attack of the red hatchet wounds. So.
Okay. I'm going to just steer clear of
what
this
the hell
one.
Does
what does that
mean?
I'm no longer repulsed, and now I'm just a
get
little bit
Get out your
afraid.
Urban dictionary, boys.
I'm just a little bit afraid now.
But, I mean, I assume the general region we're talking about on a female, but what does it mean?
It's just another way of saying it.
Saying what?
Wait a minute.
What are
don't
we saying?
Don't tell me that you've said that.
Like, no, I've never said that.
All right. So don't. It's just another way of saying it.
Why I can guess what it is. You guys are like,
I
what does that mean?
We all know
I
exactly
know.
What it is.
I've never seen one.
Well, Eric has.
Well, there's one person in here who may not have.
Why are you all dressed up, Fred?
I have a thing
Leave
tonight.
Poor Andy alone. Would you please?
What kind of a thing?
Looking on that poor kid.
Okay. Why do you have a suit on?
I don't have a suit on.
You have cufflinks.
You have gold
cufflinks
on.
You don't
so
wear
what's
those
going
every
on?
Day.
You got a job interview that I need to know about?
Cufflinks are in.
He doesn't have the interview glasses on, though, at least. So, got that going.
His editing ones.
I love
right.
walking by his office when he's got those on.
And are you ready for a quick break? I mean quick, because we got to do picks. We'll be right back.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. Three Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' three Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. That music, of course, means it's Thursday, and it's time to go around the NFL with our weekly picks. So, Paul, why don't you tell us how we finished out last week?
Doc, San Diego at Denver, when you get a chance.
Please don't.
Please
don't.
Let's see. Eric and I tied for the lead at 10-5. Andy was 8-7.
Oh, I beat Fred on this?
And Fred was 7-8.
Jesus.
Chess picking winners.
That's unbelievable.
With
San Diego favored by 3.
With the spread, we have Eric 10-5.
Wow, Eric.
And Andy, Paul, and Fred 7-8.
Wow.
Fred was the same both ways?
Yeah. So was Eric, but he usually is. You very rarely waver.
I try to be consistent, Paul.
That's good though. 10-5 is
you pick, all
very
the
good
you think
against
you're
the
win.
Spread.
That's
yes, I try to be consistent in that regard.
Anyway, the season standings are thusly: Eric 98-46, Andy 96-48, Paul 90,
more than that guy.
Paul 93-51, and Fred 86-58. Just a dismal record there, Fred. With the spread, Eric takes the lead, 79-64-1.
Can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
Paul, 76-67-1.
Losing to that guy, too.
They're not going to play the soundbite, of course.
Andy,
I don't think they can hear us back there. They're not even taking part in the show.
Andy, 74-69-1, and Fred, 65-78-1. Oh, what a difference a year makes.
Yeah.
Taking it on the chin.
Yeah.
Right.
Repeatedly.
Right. All right.
Pounding NFL, him on the chin.
Just the way you like it.
NFL Network. Thursday night football. Andy Hart.
What?
You going to start?
I wasn't listening.
Thursday night game.
Thursday night. Tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Game. Who's playing?
Miami at Carolina.
The
Dolphins without
the
Ronnie
Brownless
Brown, if that means
Dolphins.
Anything
And you know
to you.
Why? Our old friend.
Because the Beelzebub? Wildcat was declawed.
Liz Frank stepped in and took him out of the lineup.
Oh, is that what the injury
is?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
He is on IR. But the Panthers are favored by 3 at home.
Panthers at home favored by 3. I think Ronnie Brown is just too big a part of that Miami team. They may make an adjustment. They may move forward. I know Ricky Williams, obviously, as Bill said, could be the lead back with almost any team. He's going to have to be. But Ronnie Brown's such a key part of the Wildcat, which has been such a key part of their identity as a football team. They may get past it, but not this week. I'll take the Panthers.
You know what? He is a big part of their Wildcat, but so is Pat White. And I think he's going to see an increased role in this game tonight.
He ain't going to do anything
without Ronnie Brown there. I still like the Dolphins in this game.
Aside from when your defensive player of the year, Tully Bantakane, was covering the pitch man when there was no pitch man.
Mine? Or yours?
Well, you in general, all you people who think Patriots can't win without Tully Bantakane.
I'm with Eric. I don't know about Pat White, but I think Miami's a better team than Carolina. With or without Ronnie Brown, I will take the Dolphins.
Yes, wow, surprise. I'm going with Carolina.
Fred, reason and the two last pace pickers are on the same side.
All right, this one is without question the game of the day. The Cleveland Browns go to Detroit to take on the Lions, where the Lions are a whopping 3.5-point favorite. Who'd have thunk it?
I'll take Detroit. I get nothing.
I will, too. I just like them at home. I think they're the better bad team.
I like Schwartzy better than what's his
Mangini.
Name? Mangini in the Battle of the Bill understudies.
This is kind of funny because I'm actually finding myself agreeing with you. The better of the bad teams.
Yeah.
Detroit.
This is interesting. You got to wonder what at this point is Mangini telling his players that makes any sense to them. You know? I don't know. I got to go
with
Detroit.
Let's just play out the string. You guys love a new coach.
I got to go with Detroit. Unless there was something that either the owner came down or Mangini said that made a difference. But short of that, what do they have to play for, these Browns?
Their paycheck, that's it. Yeah.
Well, their future. The idea that Mike Holmgren might be watching the film after this game.
All right.
It's a good argument.
It's a good argument.
Buffalo at Jacksonville. Jags by 9.
Buffalo at Jacksonville. Jags.
Have to figure out the Jags. There are times they look like one of the dregs of the league, and then there's other times where they look
times
okay.
They look like Jags,
and they're 5-4.
Well,
I mean, they're
the
on the periphery
is
of
not Del Rio.
It's called no. They are Del Rio. They've been the same under Del Rio for the Del Rio era.
But be that as it may, they are on the periphery of playoff contention,
right, and they will be, and they might make it, and then they'll be on the outside of the playoffs after the
All
first
right,
week.
Just give me a pick.
I'll take the Jags just because they're at home, and theoretically they're the better team. But I said to you upstairs, I always have a fear of coaching changes and some, like, boost and blah, blah, but hopefully it won't happen.
They are starting, by the way, Ryan Fitzpatrick over Trent Edwards,
yep,
which I think is a grievous error.
Well, maybe they think he has more fuel than their other quarterback.
See what you did there.
Thank you.
They also signed Brian Brohm. Did you see that? They
no.
went out and grabbed Brohm off the Packers practice squad, and the Packers tried to match, and he decided to go to Buffalo. Suddenly,
really?
He's a hot commodity 3 years after he was entering the league.
I'm going to go with Jacksonville to win as well. 9 points is kind of a lot, though, even at home. I'll take those points.
I'm going to stick with Buffalo, and I'm going to stick with Jacksonville, and I'm going to lay the points because of Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think he allows Jacksonville to score some cheap points on defense.
I'm with Paul. Jacksonville all the way.
All right.
Have we seen... Are we going to see worse out of T.O. than we've already seen? You know,
no.
I don't think he's hit bottom there yet. I think something really.
See, I don't think he cares enough. I don't think there's enough energy of any sort there. It's just blah.
I think he kind of knew going in that they weren't going to be anything, even with him.
Well, maybe in a different season, but I think right now it's irrelevant.
I don't think he cares enough to have one of those meltdowns.
Right.
Yeah, but I think something's going to happen. It may be more like what happened before when they found him unconscious at his kitchen table but. He's
Are you predicting a suicide?
This
is a step up from predicting
There's
an injury.
There's going to be some incident with T.O. before the season.
You're predicting a suicide attempt.
No, I'm not. They never said that that's what that was it?
Well, I don't know about definitively. But
no, because he has 25 million reasons.
Right.
You know,
that was the defense.
Right.
She's a PR girl herself.
I just don't think we've heard the last of T.O. this year.
Okay. Paul, you want to go?
Oh, I'm sorry. Pittsburgh at Kansas City. I was watching the Patriots game over my shoulder here.
You wanted to fight him.
Steelers by 10 on the road. Kansas City. Well, if you listened, maybe you would know. If you get that out of your mouth, maybe you'd know.
Mendenhall is ridiculous, and they go on the road in a tough place to play, and they get a big win because Dwayne Bowe is suspended. Shocker that he's a juicer. You know, I mean, you're looking at him, he was just flexing after
every
catch.
Dude knows that test, right?
Right. David Boston of his era.
They're all juiced.
I like the Steelers in this game, too, even at Arrowhead. Kansas City's not who they used to be, obviously, even in that stadium. So I'll take Pittsburgh and...
as much as it pains you to do so.
I'll lay the points, too.
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh wins this one big. They come off the loss last week, and Kansas City doesn't have any weapons at all for Matt Castle.
Is Chris Chambers playing?
I don't know. But I like the Steelers.
Is Maroney about to fumble here?
It was a good run. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Anyway.
It's one play.
Go ahead.
He had 13 carries. He averaged 2 yards. And you look at one play where he got 5 and say, that's a good run. Yeah, it was a good run. Unfortunately, the other 10 stunk.
Okay, so where are we?
Pittsburgh and Kansas City.
Pittsburgh all the way. No doubt. Lock of the week. Easy. Although, it was Polamalu's out, right?
Although, yes, his lock of the week, he immediately talked himself out of.
No, I'm just saying overall for Pittsburgh.
Looks like he's going to miss a couple of games.
Yeah, at least.
He's weak in the knees.
Yep.
All right, this one actually could be one of the best games of the day. Indianapolis at Baltimore. Colts are giving 1 point on the road, favored by 1 point.
I will just take the Colts because they're the better football team. More consistent play at the quarterback position. This could be a good football game, but, I mean, as a Patriots fan and as a guy who's seen Peyton Manning do it so many times, it's hard to pick against him. Go with Peyton.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, that comeback against New England the other day could have been, I mean, in 07 when New England went and ran the table in the regular season, that game was sort of the one that everybody looked to and said if they can beat Indianapolis, they're not going to lose again. I think Indy can look at this game,
right,
too, and say, you know, we beat New England, we're not going to lose again. So I got to pick Indy.
Yeah, I think Andy's right about the fact that the Colts are the better team, but I'm taking Baltimore. I think that they come off of that win with a little bit of a letdown, you know, a little bit of an emotional letdown. I don't think they care about going 16-0. They never have. They've been in position to do so several times, and they've sort of taken the foot off the gas pedal. This is too early to do that. That's not going to be the reason why they lose this game this week, but Baltimore is good enough at home to give Indy trouble, and I think they will.
I'm going to be with Paul. I think that Baltimore, this is the last chance. I think this is the last decent team to play them, I think. Then they've got the Houstons and the Jacksonvilles left. And
well, Houston's got a better record than Baltimore.
That's true.
And they so does Jacksonville.
And they give Indy. Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about.
I think Baltimore's a better team, too. But you know what? What I think of Baltimore is obviously wrong because they lose every week.
Right. I was going to say, Baltimore and Atlanta are two teams that we're going to be using the Fred Kirsch thing.
Atlanta, I don't think,
season,
is very good.
That's what I'm talking about. Other than what it was
when
you
had it. That's what I'm talking
Atlanta,
about.
Atlanta, I don't think, is very good. Baltimore, despite the
but
fact
Atlanta
that they
was
lose,
good when they came here. Everybody was impressed with the victory.
They were 2-0.
I'm going to say Baltimore.
Everybody was raving.
Thank you, know, hopefully.
Raven, get it?
Speaking of overrated teams, Atlanta is at the Giants. Two very disappointing teams. Giants by 6.5.
I just don't know. I'm torn. I'll take the Giants because they're at home. No other reason.
What are you torn about?
I think they both stink.
They're both bad teams.
They're both nowhere near as good as I thought they had a chance to
they're
be.
They're not terrible teams, but they're not nearly as good, as Andy said.
They're not playing well at this point in the season.
And the game is at this point in the season.
Well, I'm
going to
reserve judgment until the middle of January before I weigh in on that. But what do you like, the
you'll
Giants?
You'll be able to judge both of them before then.
I like the Giants as well.
Okay.
I think the Giants are a much better team, and I will take them.
Yeah, I got to go with
you.
Yeah,
you know
Giants.
How many times I've said the Giants are a better team? I'll
this
take them.
It'll be 5 weeks in a row.
And I lost.
Yeah, they are enigmatic, to say the least. San Francisco at Green Bay. Speaking of enigmatic teams, the Packers.
The freaking
they lose
Packers.
To Tampa Bay, and then they come back and beat Dallas. The Packers favored by 6.5.
The Packers, my team that I picked to go to the Super Bowl. Fraud. At coaching, fraud, quarterback.
All of a sudden, Cartman showed up.
I'll take the Packers because they're at home. I'm out of this picks contest.
You're not even picking. You're not even going to determine anything about like the spread. You just like whatever. Okay. All right. What do you got over there?
I like Green Bay as well. What's the number again, Paul?
6.5.
Fred's right. There's no oxygen here. At the end of the show, you just run out of gas.
I'll take those points. I think San Francisco will keep it close.
Yeah, I did as well. Green Bay wins the game. San Francisco keeps it close.
Yeah, San Francisco definitely loses. Green Bay wins.
Do they cover?
What's the spread?
6.5.
No.
So San Francisco, you're taking the points.
Taking the points.
Thank God I'm not losing to that guy.
Unbelievable. Seattle at Minnesota. Fred will be all excited to see Brett Favre slapping people on the ass again. Vikings by 10.5.
I'll take the Vikings to win and cover. I hate the Seahawks.
I don't know about the Seahawks. I definitely take Minnesota to win the game, Paul. Yeah, I'll lay the points, too. I'll take Minnesota both ways.
Yeah, if this game were in Seattle, I'd be tempted to take the points, but then again, I probably wouldn't be getting as many. I will take the Vikings to cover.
That's like saying if Teddy Bruschi was there to yell at Bill on the sideline. Well, Teddy Bruschi was there and some of those other players, they might not have done the same decision.
Could Minnesota be the best team in the NFC?
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah. I'll take them to win and cover.
So you think New Orleans will lose the title as best team in the NFC as soon as they lose, like immediate?
Yep.
That theirs is based solely on their undefeated, so you got to put them there?
Yep. What's next?
Can't argue with that.
I don't know.
Washington at Dallas.
I'll
Cowboys
take Dallas.
By 11.
I'll take Dallas. I found out this morning Jim Zorn drives a yellow Beetle. That's all I need to know.
Laying the points?
Oh, yeah. He drives a yellow Beetle. Tell me it's a convertible and I'll lay 3 touchdowns.
I like Dallas in this game, too.
Dallas always seems to play well against Washington, don't they?
It's because Jim Zorn is the Washington coach. I don't know.
I like the Cowboys to bounce back after last week.
Yeah, definitely Cowboys.
Definitely Cowboys. You know,
definitely
Rain
Cowboys.
Man over there.
Definitely Cowboys.
All right, New Orleans at Tampa Bay. Saints by 11.5. Suddenly the Saints don't look quite as invincible as they did about a month ago. A lot of close games
lately.
Yeah,
but they look vincible enough for Tampa Bay.
Vincible.
It's like Leave It to Beaver.
I agree with Fred. They are vincible enough to beat Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay obviously has been better since what's-his-name took over at quarterback.
Freeman.
But not good enough.
Yeah, I like New Orleans as well, Paul. Both ways.
Yeah, I'll lay the points. New Orleans, I think, explodes this week against the terrible football team, and they win handily. They want to get their swagger back. Deion Sanders' word. Yeah, coach got swagger. Okay, yeah. Deion, that's
you
great.
You know what
Thanks.
My guess is?
Thanks for the analysis.
Bill read that and said, son of a bitch, I screwed up. Deion's with me.
I think the Saints get well, and then we head to Monday Night Football in New Orleans a week from Monday.
Doc wants to know where we're going to eat because he's going to that game.
Tell us
you're
where
going
you're
to,
going.
Going to another game?
Yeah, another
My
game.
God, how many teams does he need to see that do better halftime entertainment than he does?
And he goes to see teams that are in a dome. We're not in a dome, so we can't do necessarily the things that they do.
We can't light the field on fire.
And I've yet to see him attempt a single idea he learned.
Right.
Anything. We have no in-game entertainment. Just deal with it.
We need to grill him about what did you learn at the Colts game?
Nothing.
Takeaways. Right. Yeah. What takeaways? And how are you going to apply
pick?
That?
New Orleans.
All right, Andy. Arizona at St. Louis. Cardinals by 9 on the road.
I'll take the Cardinals to win and cover.
Cardinals by 9. I like them to win and cover as well. St. Louis is horrible.
Yeah, I'll lay the points. Arizona. Not feeling great about laying the points, but I will.
Eric, you going to go see this Blindside movie?
Yeah, I'll go with Arizona as well.
I don't know if I'm not going to go see it. But
I thought
he
was a douche at the combine,
it's on
so
demand.
It's really swayed me because the movie is clearly this feel-good story, and I don't feel good about him, so I can't buy into the movie.
Yeah.
I think he's a douche.
I think he's probably seen a lot of bad things in his life that you don't necessarily want.
He's still a douche.
Yeah,
it's
I
one
can't
of those.
That
if it's
yeah,
on
I
the,
don't agree with
if
that.
It's on
I think
the plane,
if you're a douche, you're a douche.
If it's on the plane next season, I'll catch it there.
You don't think that could be a learned behavior?
No, I think you're an adult. You're a human being. You make decisions.
I didn't say that excuses him if he goes on to become, you know, some bank robber or a murderer.
Well,
or
what's the difference? You're an adult. You make choices.
If you don't
life.
Trust anybody because you never had anybody in the first 15 years of your life that did anything for you, I can understand.
We all
that.
Have problems. We all grow up with issues,
and that's why you have them.
But
it's learned.
At some
it's
point, you're
behavior.
An adult. You make a decision to be who you are as a human being. You know the difference
right.
between
that,
right and
that's
wrong.
That's why I would.
Unless you're telling me he's psychotic, he
right.
is.
But you just
absolutely
said it. The difference between
physically.
Right and wrong, I would agree. That doesn't excuse him to go out and become a murderer or a drug dealer
right.
or something.
But
in that case,
he knows
I
when he's being.
I wouldn't
a douche.
Sit there and say, "Well, yeah, he's a drug dealer, but look what he went through in
so
his
what's
life."
Your
but
excuse?
If he wasn't necessarily cordial to
I
the
don't
media,
have an excuse.
Because he doesn't trust anybody.
I think if you're
I could
a jerk,
that.
You're a jerk. You know you're being a jerk.
Cincinnati.
Where'd you learn it from, by the way?
You. It's not a learned behavior
you.
For you? It's inbred?
You.
Cincinnati at Oakland.
He giggles.
That was good. He should be giggling. That was a good one.
It's a rare one. What?
Bengals by 9.5 at Oakland.
Bengals by 9.5 at Oakland. I love Bruce Gradkowski. You know I think he's the next Brady.
Oh, my God.
One of these years, he's going to actually win.
I'll take the Bengals. I'm in love with their Samoan front, or Tongan. I don't want to disrespect them, whichever they are.
Pacific Islander.
Yeah, they don't like to be lumped in. Remember what was his name?
Who?
The guy in training camp.
I can get this. Steve Fifita.
He's on a team, by the way.
He is?
Steve Fifita told me it's not the same.
He was Tongan, correct?
Yeah, but all the famous ones are Samoan.
Yes, he was very dismissive.
I like Cincinnati to score a lot of points against this horrendous Raiders team.
Be interesting to watch Cincinnati's offense because it hasn't really been great all year. Palmer's been adequate. He's been very good in the red zone, but he's just been adequate overall. If they can get going offensively, that's a dangerous team.
Benson's hurt. You bring in LJ.
I like Cincinnati.
Could be
Cincinnati.
The cancer that kills the Bengals.
Yeah,
I like Cincinnati, and I think these three games are huge for them. They're three games they absolutely should win against Detroit. I think it's, what is it, Detroit, Cleveland, and Oakland. They have back-to-back,
I don't know.
You know, starting with Oakland.
They have to win these because
they have to
then
win all,
they get to the meat.
Well, they have to win all three of them, and then they're a good football team because you're supposed to win these games.
Yeah. Your Patriots are chasing them Bengals.
I know.
How about that?
I'll go with Bengals as well.
All right. San Diego.
He's big on the noises after his pick.
San Diego at Denver, where the reeling Broncos are a home dog getting three without, it looks like, Kyle Orton.
And Brandon Marshall didn't practice as well. And you know I predicted the Broncos to end up at 8-8. To do that, they need to continue to lose football games. Who are they playing?
San Diego, Denver.
Oh, San Diego.
At
easy.
Home.
Easy.
In Denver?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Easy? Bill once told me that
those games are always weird.
Atmosphere is irrelevant there.
I'll take San Diego as well. I just think they are the better team at this point, even though Denver's a tough place to play.
Yeah, I would without what's the face? Kyle Orton. I can't pick him.
That's true.
I just can't pick him without
with Kyle Orton. I'd probably take the Chargers, but I would really think about it more.
I actually forgot Orton was out. Yeah.
So I will take San Diego.
Yeah, you got to go with San Diego. Another notch in the learning totem pole for Josh McDaniels. Whatever that means.
The learning totem pole.
I don't know what that means.
He's actually a Native American.
You turned into a caricature of yourself. Philadelphia at Chicago, Andy. Bears another home dog getting three.
The Bears. Turnovers. Two quarterbacks that are highly overrated. I don't like this game at all. I'll go with the Philadelphia Eagles. Did you read that Westbrook is expected to recover from his concussion? And I'm thinking, that wasn't really the question I had. The question was, can he play again?
Yeah.
Is he you know, damaged goods forever?
I saw there was a column in Philadelphia that was calling for the Eagles to shelf him for the season, for his good.
For his benefit?
You know, I would assume they have a little more information to go on than the writer. But I kind of agree with the tone.
I don't like this game either, but I think Philly's a better team, has better athletes.
DeSean Jackson. Give me a couple big plays so I can win this.
Yeah, I like Philly.
He's not
hurt, is he? I think Chicago's terrible. I think the Eagles are a decent team. I think Chicago stinks.
Yeah, I don't know if they stink, but
stink.
Their quarterback stinks. He is who I thought he was.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Chicago in the upset.
Excellent. Tennessee at Houston.
Monday night.
I'm going to keep riding
Houston
my guy.
Houston by 4.5.
Vinsanity.
Yeah, you're riding a lot of guys.
I'll be... Paul, what'd you say in the locker room? Ooh, a tall white guy. I got excited.
To quote me accurately, I said, ooh, I saw a tall white guy and I got excited. I was waiting for Sebastian Ballmer.
Mark LaVore walked
in. It wasn't him.
Yeah, Vinsanity, they've been a different team. Rodney thinks Chris Johnson's the best running back in the National Football League. That's
he
opened some things up. That offense has been much better since Vinsanity took over. Now even Jeff Fisher seems to like Vince Young again. And, you know, they're rolling. Hopefully the owner will stay sober and keep his fingers to himself. But other than that, the Titans roll.
Hello. I disagree. I think Houston's going to bring this little mini win streak of the Titans to a halt. and increase their chances of making
the fades,
the playoffs.
Paul. Well, I was just going to say.
Because the fade was not 5 yards close to completing.
No, but we're, you know, just so our listeners who are watching a replay of the Patriots game as we're doing this, and there was a play where it was obviously supposed to be Moss had one-on-one coverage in the red zone, and Brady was just supposed to put it up there for Moss to go get it. And Brady, for some reason, threw it away.
Threw it way over his
head.
And
Moss gave him a look like, what are you doing?
And the timing wasn't there. There was nothing there.
I don't know why. Moss was – he had his body turned. The defender had his back to the ball. It would have been an easy six if Brady had just put it up there where Moss could jump up and get it. For some reason, Brady threw it away. There's an example of red zone problems.
He stinks. You're right. I'm going to agree with Eric. Houston gets this win and stays in playoff contention for another week.
Houston wins. You're absolutely right. They're going to make a little run here.
All right. And as is normally the case, we have 20 minutes to talk about the last game.
We have 5 minutes.
The Jets are at the Patriots, Andy. Patriots by 10.5.
Well, as we talked about earlier, Jets come in looking to run the football, take the pressure off Sanchez. I always give the Vince Wilfork-led Patriots the edge in stopping the run. I think they'll stop the run, keep the Jets limited. And I think they are just hungry, whatever you want to call it, bounce-back game, lightning rod, everything is focused. I think everything would have been focused on killing the Jets, but obviously Sunday night makes it even more so. I think they're going to win pretty easy, 30-something to 13.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think they're going to use this Colts loss as a motivator, not as something that's going to, you know, be detrimental to them. So I think they're going to come out, score a lot of points, and beat the Jets pretty easily.
It's a rallying point, Eric.
Yeah.
They don't like the fact that their coach was questioned.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like Spygate when they rallied.
They don't like the fact that their coach came under some fire.
That's right.
They're going to rebound.
Yeah, and I also think they don't like the fact that they should have won that game, and they all know it. Mm-hmm. Offense, defense, everybody.
That could go the other way because some of them could feel like they should have won the game, and they didn't because their coach did something.
Well, yeah. That's why I would kind of ask, if they're the ones questioning him, then it's hard to rally around him.
Could go either way, but it's one of those things, we can question him, you guys can't.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Mayo said to Teddy Bruschi.
Right.
You're not in the locker room. You were 2 months ago.
Yeah. But, and that's why I think there was probably a good deal. I don't think it was fake. I don't think the people that were wondering about that are way off. I was in that locker room after the game. You guys were too. You looked around. You saw some stunned faces.
I sure did.
And some blank Super Bowl, like post-Super Bowl expressions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that was fake. That was real. I mean, that was. I think there was real
shock.
Disillusionment.
Right.
Well, you know,
over how they lost the game,
right.
What they did to lose the game.
But at the end of
the
day,
get over that.
At the end of the day, everyone's supposed to do their job. Maybe Belichick didn't do his. This is maybe what they're thinking secretly. But the offense didn't do theirs at the end, and the defense didn't do theirs at the end. They had a chance. Nobody did their job.
You're absolutely right.
You know,
Fred.
So
that's like, you know, we started talking about the game a little bit, and everybody says, well, the Patriots did this, they did that, and they did. They did so many things well, and they definitely should have won the game. But everybody's convinced that had they punted, that Manning would have gone down and scored. Even the people that think that they should have punted, I think they should have punted, and I kind of think that Indy would have scored. Most people feel like that. Well, if they did and they won that way, would that make you feel any better
no.
about the team?
You'd be pissed about the defense.
It'd almost be worse because then you'd be saying, "Wow, they let a long drive." Whereas this way, you can at least say, "Well, it's 30 yards." And
right,
yeah.
At the end of the day, nobody did their job at the end of the game.
Yeah.
You know, so that should be the rallying cry.
It's hard for me to sit there and say,
"Do your job."
Do your job.
It was a
fluke. Bill and all of us.
You know, it was hard to say, "Oh, it was a fluke." Well, yeah, it was a fluke because he went for it on fourth down. But had they punted, you all think they would have lost anyway. It just wouldn't have been a fluke. It would have been a 70-yard drive, and Manning would have won. Personally, I would have liked to have taken my chances with that, but we'll never know. But we all like the Patriots in this game, and we're giving the points, right?
Absolutely. Well, wait, what's this? What's
10.5.
No, I'm not.
Oh.
I'm taking the points.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, because that 27-17 is the final score. So,
big half point for you.
Yeah,
it is.
Well, I think that it will be an early nod game for Paul. I don't think he's doing the nods anymore.
I'm out of the nod business.
But if he was, this would be an early nod game, but I still think it's going to be, you know, 10 points.
I was shocked how early that nod came in Indy.
I wasn't.
How early? No, that's when I do it.
I do it when I think the game is over.
That game went exactly like I predicted until the end.
And when
it was what you thought it was.
And when I gave you the
nod. You let him off the hook.
And when I gave you the nod, just for the record, we continued to expand the lead. It wasn't like I gave the nod and all of a sudden things changed.
Right.
And as I said to you in a fit of rage, I do not want to be held responsible for this. I can't control going for it on fourth down from my own 28.
Right.
So I'll stand by that.
All right.
It's kind of cool to see the nod actually happen. That
but
was
I'm out of the nod
time.
Business. Yes, the doc got to witness the nod.
There's a lot of excitement in that press box, huh?
So you're going.
We're very entertaining.
You're going to the New Orleans
More entertaining
game?
Than your entertainment.
Yes.
How many games are you going to on the road this year?
That's my last one.
And how much have you learned on these road games?
What do you do?
I've learned a good deal. I've seen some good things. I've seen some bad things. And ironically, something that I'll share with you, we just got an email from the NFL. And to quote the email, there is a moratorium on roof-hung pyrotechnics. And it should not be used for the remainder of the season.
But, Doc,
we don't have a roof.
I know. Doc, one of the things we're wondering is why do you always choose to go to games that are indoors? We don't have an indoor facility.
There's somebody who's traveling to New Orleans, which is why I went there. Indianapolis is a big game, and I kind of wanted to keep an eye on what rules they were following or breaking.
So you just go to go, nah.
So
they're entertaining, but they cheat.
What rules were they breaking?
Denver was very...
Indy.
Indy was actually on par. I was standing down on the field trying to listen to see if I could tell if they were piping in crowd noise or if it was legitimately the crowd.
Oh, no, they don't
do that.
I was
looking
for... What did you just say? They don't pipe in noise.
Really?
No, that one thing was debunked. Remember that game?
I know that it's silly. I know it's but that's what we do.
But wait a minute. They didn't break any rules when they lit the field on fire?
That was a screw-up.
They obviously just put a rule in to make sure that
I'm talking about competitive.
Who knew I had to have a rule telling you guys don't light the field on fire during a game?
I'm talking about competitive advantage rules. That's all I care about.
I was looking to see if they were playing music while the play clock was running, if their PA announcer was cheerleering, which we get called on. What they were showing on their video board. I did. I sent someone an email saying that their PA announcer was cheerleading in the second half.
They were doing the thing that Rook does with the first down.
No, but they were the way he was calling third downs on us was a little over the top, and it was inciting the crowd. And I'm looking to see if they're putting signs up that say defense and if they're riling up the things that people call us and yell at me for.
Is actually things that prohibit this stuff?
And you wonder why.
You make fun of me for not being a fan, and this is the stuff that your league is legislating. Wow. Don't have fun.
Right.
Don't make noise. Just sit there and give us $300 every week.
But give us all your money.
Exactly. What is this, a tennis match?
If I showed you the rules, you'd be shocked at what you can and cannot do.
You watch the games.
Can you have a mascot on a scooter?
You watch the games on Saturday, and you wonder how it could be that fun, how the atmosphere could be that fun.
I know.
Well, that's why. Because the SEC doesn't call each other and say, hey, they were cheerleading on the PA. That's unbelievable.
I can tell you, I got a phone call about music on kickoffs and the Musket Men firing by a visiting team owner in the middle of a game.
Bud Adams?
Next time you should have the Musket shoot that visiting team owner.
Give me it. Was it Bud Adams?
All right.
What?
All right.
Because you're lucky he didn't just flip you the bird.
Paul now.
Tim Lincecum.
Paul now backing assassination for visiting only. All right.
Well, hey, I'm out of the nod business.
Is assassination worse than suicide?
Because
you called for
a
suicide.
I'm in the hit business now.
Eric and I are the business. Only ones who didn't call for deaths in this show.
No.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Big game coming up Sunday against the Jets.
You walked the straight and narrow.
We'll see you next
Eric's got playbook. We'll see you next.